Good morning. I'm Ray Taliaferro, and welcome to the early show here on KJO News Talk 810 on this Friday morning, the 13th day of January 2006. And we usually do News Talk, as you know, coming live from the ABC Broadcast Center in downtown San Francisco on the Pacific coast of this country. Every now and then we do something that is absolutely wonderful. We have a poetry night. This is the only poetry program you'll find on a commercial broadcast station in the United States of America, actually. And that being the case, we have a lot of people who enjoy poetry. I certainly do, and there are millions of you out there who obviously enjoy it. And many of you write it, and millions more read it. So what we do on Poetry Night, which I started over 20 years ago here, we just call for one every now and then. Maybe there are about three during the course of a year. This is the first one for the year 2006. And so whatever the subject matter might be that you think that you'd like to share with us, something that you've written, whether it's purely artistic, it's political, it's romantic, it's whatever you would like to lay on us on Poetry Night. There are a lot of people listening because the whole field of poetry has been absolutely neglected in this day, this era, where we do a lot, we do just about everything else except poetry. But I do it, and very happy to do it. It was made as a suggestion to me by a wonderful cab driver some years ago, a little over 20 years ago. And I said, well, you know, that's a great idea. And so I started doing it, and it's always wonderful. So we lay aside the news talk, except for whatever the issue might be that you have in your poems, and once again, whether you have written it yourself or it's something that it's a wonderful work that someone else has put together, but that you enjoy. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call in and express yourself and read your poem. It's a wonderful departure, as I said before, from what we usually do. And this is an excellent time to do it, quite frankly. This is the beginning of the year. This will be one of the most critical years in the society of the United States of America, certainly in our government, that we have had in a long, long time, folks. There's just no question about it. As we discuss every single night, and I greatly appreciate all of you who call in and email in night after night, morning after morning, and it does indeed make a difference. People tune in knowing that they're going to hear opinions on the issues from people, quite frankly, from all over the world, since we are on the Internet and we are heard all over the United States of America and around the world. So those of you who would like to email a poem in, I have several already, I see, in the inbox here in the studio. And I will go through them and read as many of them as I can. And let me give you the telephone number, even though nearly all the lines are loaded with fine bards and bardesses. with your creations and or the poem that someone else has written that you find inspires you, whatever the subject matter might be, just happy to hear from you on this great departure, and it is a departure. We need one every now and then, but this will certainly get the year 2006 going. My little rhyme at the beginning of last year was that America would come alive in 2005. And to be prepared for the fix in 2006 to straighten things out here. And so at the beginning of such a critical year, I can't think of any lovelier thing to do on this Friday morning than have our first poetry night of the year. And then, you know, 2-3 months from now when we want to do it, we have another one. It's just something that we pop in here. The telephone number on the board for the lines I have left open is 8080810. The area code is 415. That's 8080810. And continue to email in from wherever you happen to be around the globe at KGO.com or Raytal.com. And so we will begin right off the bat with those people who enjoy poems, poetry, and believe me, it is a fine literary work of art that seems to be fading with a lot of other very what I consider to be the necessary attributes of artistry that we've had in our society for as long as we've had a society. And that's a shame. I don't take, you know, it's not a boast to say that we are the only major commercial radio station that's as opposed to, say, NPR or one of the radio stations, the educational stations, National Public Radio. They will have poetry from time to time. But you will not find, I'm told, out of the thousands and thousands of commercial stations in the country, an entire program devoted to poetry except KGO, ABC in San Francisco. So let's just kick this off and go to Steve in Sunnyvale. You're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
Yes.
Police state, pigs, nothing but cavity searchers with guns and badges and dogs, submit and obey, selective enforcement, injustice industry, persecute and prosecute, humiliate and degrade, rule with fear, eliminate pride, create mistrust, imprison boldness. Desensitized towards mean, terrorized with secrecy and disappearance. Social control, the Bush plan. How do we stop it? Easy. Hold no reserve, have no fear. Thank you, Ray.
Well, thank you very much. And it's interesting, isn't it, that with poetry not being given a great deal of time in our society today, certainly in the commercial media. And I keep emphasizing that because I think that it something this wonderful ought to pop up just about everywhere, but it does not. And it's a real shame because most people resort to poetry or will turn to wonderful works of art, as we call them, at the most memorable and critical times of their of actions in their lives. It's amazing when you're graduating, and it's a very significant element of your life that you've reached a milestone, you will almost always hear somebody read a poem. And when people are going about solidifying their unions, getting married, seldom do you have weddings. Which are indeed a very significant milestone in the lives of a lot of people, without poetry. poetry in music, poetry just in verse. You achieve some high level of responsibility, like you will never have a person become president of the United States and go and put together $100 million in inaugural ceremony without poetry. There's always poetry there. So it's rather odd, is it not, that something to which a society turns in the most significant moments, when loved ones move on, when they die, and in memorial services, invariably there will be someone who will stand up and join a memorial service with a poem. So you wonder, since it is the highest form of our literary art, that's what a lot of people think, that's what I think, and it's and indeed you can say a lot in a very meaningful, effective, and inspirational mode, and it's something that generally is very well accepted, whether people in the audience agree with every verse or not. So that's what we're all about. That's what we're doing this morning. There's one line open on the board that you can grab at 808-0810. Let's go to Bill in Berkeley. You're on KGO Radio Faro. Good morning.
Hey, Ray.
Yes.
Hey, you're a beautiful person to put on this show.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to read a poem called Puff.
Okay.
Puff.
Mm-hmm.
Life is like smoke, moving along sideways, making strange shapes against the landscape sky, rolling and turning into a design that wasn't planned but simply happened. There's a big bright cloud moving fast to the horizon, making an escape across the heavens to hide behind its mother, Earth, or simply vanish into the air it's made out of. All those patterns puzzle the idea of being nothing but a mist that floats like the weight of minutes, hours, days, and years, unfolding into a motif of one many times. Its width and breadth are large in the personal scheme of things, but so small in the yonder of a dispassionate and disinterested atmosphere, like a fluffy little dream high in a barren blue mystery. The winds of circumstance blow it in an artist's composition of vision, form, and bearing, only to evaporate off the sky's page, dissipating, then disappearing from its billowing dance into the enormity of not at all. So currently, levitate this stretch in space, tumbling like a puff from a smokestack, out and into the fresh air as a bundled wisp of whatever the weather allows your haze to form itself into.
Oh, very good. And thank you very, very much. And, oh boy, I'm just checking the computer, and whoa, we have, a lot of poets out there. So I'll spend some time reading several of the submissions over the internet. But in the meantime, let's go to Don in Sonoma. You're on KGO Tagliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
Yes.
This poem is Ichthyology, or the Scientific Study of the Fish. It's dedicated to my teacher, Dr. Gustavo Gutierrez, and he's the one who coined the term liberation theology.
Oh, indeed.
Number one, the first half. The community. Place where? A southern American coastal village 5 minutes before a fishing cooperative is founded. The dust of the streets windlessly catches the air. Broken nets, stretch unmended. Their boats are beached, unattended. Broken men, broken women, sit with their broken children, wishfully thinking of fish, of which there is not. Broken men compound their women. The women turn to fracture their children. Of fish to break, there are whispers, but of fish to break with bread, there is not. Hail, boat, full of fish, life is with you. Blessed are you among boats. Blessed is your bellied catch. Only fish, eaten to live, come to us now, or this shall be the hour of our death. Amen. To place where? The second half, the individual, the Bear River in Hemingway's Michigan. Trout belong in deep ponds, slow stops on this stream, measures for lengths of line and time hooked on fishing. The line's living end, the filamental worm, incited by the trout, either by smell or wave, is finally nibbled at. A quick jerk sets the hook. A steady reeling in surfaces the fish, but without a net, the blinking trout must somehow be thrown to one of the stream's sides. But in the midair of the mid-toss, the trophy trout bankrupts off both hook and expectation. 3. The hermeneutic poem as fish. You splay the caught brain food. Now debone it delicately enough to keep both flesh halves whole.
I greatly appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. And let's see. Well, let me continue here at 1:26 in the morning here in San Francisco, and go to Joanna in Concord. Welcome to Poetry Night.
Good morning, Ray.
Yes.
This poem is called "Fire His Ass," and it was written by E. Densler. Since George Bush really got in power by corporate takeover and not election. Since he has behaved like a CEO of a huge corporation called USA, supporting profit in all cases over human interests, we should treat him the way they would treat him in any corporation and fire his ass. When you start with a major surplus and end up with a huge, huge deficit, they fire your ass. When you fail to move a company forward, they fire your ass. When you are lazy and take vacations at a time of peril, they fire your lazy ass. When you don't prepare for terrible outcomes and then lose thousands of lives and insane amounts of money, they fire your ass. When you lie to your stockholders and board and then spend nearly $1.3 trillion and kill hundreds of thousands of people for no reason that makes sense to anyone, they fire your ass. Sometimes they even put you in prison. When you openly practice racist policies, whether they want to or not, they fire your ass. When you openly break the law, order torture, and get caught, they fire your ass. When you hire people who are ignorant and incompetent, they fire your ass. When you destroy the brand of a company and alienate potential buyers all over the world, they fire your ass. We are the shareholders of the USA. Bush has bankrupted our company, our pocketbooks, but mainly our soul. We need to remove this president and his staff, and we need to do it now. Fire his ass. Thank you, Ray.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, boy, I tell you. Nothing says it better than good inspirational readings. And the poetry night here on KGO, News Talk 810, a special night that we pull out of the hat whenever we feel we want to pull it out of the hat. And the first poetry night on KGO for the year 2006. And there's one line open on the board if you'd like to grab it at 8080810. And as we move through the morning, I'm sure we will hear poems on a host of different themes. I greatly appreciate, and I'm sure the audience appreciates hearing all of it. So thank you very, very much. And I will move on with more of your fine works of art. Well, that last one was a really, really wonderful example of precisely what we need to do, saying it succinctly in terms that we all understand, quite frankly. And I'll continue with more in a moment, but first, let's go to Kim McAllister with an update on the news.
Ray, thank you. Good morning. It is an update now from KGO Radio. U.S. Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito has completed testifying in his confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. An up-or-down vote in the full Senate is expected next week. In the final day of hearings, Alito was asked what kind of Supreme Court justice he might be.
But I'd be the same sort of justice in the Supreme Court that I've been a judge, as I've been a judge on the Court of Appeals. I am my own person with whatever abilities I have and whatever limitations I have.
Authorities are growing increasingly concerned about a possible link between terrorism and so-called disposable or throwaway cell phones. The phones don't require purchasers to sign a contract or present a credit card. ABC News reports that federal agents are investigating the purchase of large quantities of the phones by people believed to be of Middle Eastern or Pakistani descent. German Chancellor Angela Merkel meets President Bush today and will strive to restore trust in German-American relations. There are some rough spots to iron out due to her criticism of the U.S. treatment of suspected militants. Ahead of her visit to the White House, Merkel did not directly address differences over prisoner policies. She called for an honest and open dialogue. Here in San Francisco, the Board of Education is postponing their vote on whether to close or merge 26 of the city's 119 schools. San Francisco Chronicle says the public comment at the meeting last night went on for more than 5 hours, and at times it was very heated. We'll go to the roads now and check your traffic around the Bay Area. After some road work backed up traffic down the lower deck of the Bay Bridge, now an accident. East 80 right before Treasure Island. It was a three-car crash. The cars have been taken off at Yerba Buena Island, and the Caltrans crews have picked up some cones to get traffic moving again. So the backup is now alleviated. East 80 as you leave San Francisco, heading out of the city on the lower deck of the Bay Bridge. Do have some slowdowns in Marin County due to road work on northbound 101. All lanes of traffic are shut down right at Sir Francis Drake Boulevard, so drivers are taken off at Sir Francis Drake, out past the Larkspur Landing Ferry Building, out to 580, and then back on to 580 westbound to the North 101 connector. That detour in place until about 5 o'clock this morning as all lanes are shut on North 101. Another road closure on the peninsula. This time it is 280 that's affected. Northbound, it's shut at Highway 1 out to San Jose Avenue, that until 5 a.m. KGO Traffic is brought to you by Sleep Train. Come into Sleep Train today, and during their huge inventory clearance sale, you'll find every premium mattress on sale. Plus, on approved credit, you pay no interest until 2008. KGO weather forecast, partly cloudy skies during the overnight hours. It looks like a chance of rain, though, later on Friday afternoon. Highs in the 50s and 60s around the Bay Area. National Weather Service says your Saturday will likely be rainy, the chance of thunderstorms as well. Right now in San Francisco, it is cloudy and 50 degrees. Kim McAllister, KGO Radio News.
And Ray Taliaferro here on KJO News Talk 810. And our great sounds here in the middle of the night. And shiny stockings, actually. And a lot of great players there from the Frank West Orchestra and Count Basie Orchestra and all. Very, very nice. In the meantime, let me continue to take your poems. It's poetry night here on KGO. And if you have a poem that you'd like to read to us that you wrote, or one that you enjoy that another wonderful person wrote, you're certainly invited to give a call. And let's go to Greg in Santa Rosa. You're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. I'm shocked and amazed that you would have a poetry night. I've, within the last month, because of my animosity towards what's going on with the current administration, I've looked to poetry to try to guide me through my life. And one of the things that I found was a book of the world's religion. And sure enough, in the, of all things, in the Confucianism chapter, that he's what I consider poetry. I'll read a little bit for you here. I'll make it short and sweet. And what he says is, "Is not he a true philosopher who, though he be unrecognized, cherishes no resentment? What you do not wish done to yourself, do not do to others. I will not grieve that others do not know me. I will grieve that I do not know others. Do not wish for quick results, nor look for small advantages. If you see quick results, you will not attain the ultimate goal. If you are led astray by small advantages, you will never accomplish great things. Nobler persons first practice what they preach, and afterwards preach according to their practice. If when you look into your own heart, you find nothing wrong there, what is there to worry about? What is there to fear? When you know a thing, to recognize that you know it, and when you do not, to know that you do not know, that is knowledge. To go too far is as bad as to fall short. When you see someone of worth, think of how you may emulate. When you see someone unworthy, examine your own character. Wealth and rank are what people desire, but unless they be obtained in the right way, they may not be possessed." The last one is for you specifically, because I feel this way about you and what I've listened to over the last 6 months of hearing you pretty much night in, night out now, and feel kindly toward everyone, but be intimate only with the virtuous. And my intimacy with the message that you're spreading towards people that believe what you believe and the message you're trying to send and the changes that we need to make is so important to me, and I appreciate your poetry night, and I appreciate the message that you're helping to spread towards the people that know right from wrong, and you know right from wrong, and a lot of people don't, and thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you, and I appreciate you bringing Confucius into the program, because I it takes me way back, years and years ago, when reading from a lot of the great philosophers and poets and those who were leaders just through their thinking and the way that they were able to postulate their words and their thoughts, Confucius was one that I thoroughly enjoyed. So I enjoy hearing that again. Thank you very, very much. It's good to hear from you. And let's go on to Philip, you're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a poem entitled Shattered Vessels,
mm-hmm.
A poem from the Dark Age. Perceived division, religion, culture, or by race, joy displaced by pain in a wall-dividing space, suffering bestowed in the name of righteousness, violence beaten back, but that violence never rests. Never will it be halted by demarcation or a border, nor can it be segregated in support of order. Never has it been repelled by the fighting man, sightlessly embracing an ignorant, illusory plan, thrust into ego-driven lust for power and control, blindly rushing toward the confluence of the inevitable untold. Shattered spirits, fractured families, clay vessels easily broken, now parched earth, their worthless shards, we've made men our only token. The assailants are consumed by unforgiving sands of time, but forever are the echoes of their misdeeds much decried. Without stressing education, there's no semblance of a chance, yet building more and larger prisons has become the major stance. Youthful violence and cruelty, they're the children of annihilation. They'll mark the beginning of the end for a fading civilization. Ever-enveloping darkness, the parent of devastation's might. It befits this age of darkness and obscures all truth and light. Christian fervor misguides many into following a hateful cause. Truly faithful have momentary opportunity with which to give it pause. Revenge by lethal injection couldn't be the Christian plan. An eye for an eye begets blindness for the likes of man. It's totally twisted wreckage, the religion of science perverted. Experimental bacillus, chemical weapons, and plutonium converted. Gases suffocate, eradicate, in necrotic Netherlands. Insular safety for the chosen, for wealthy overlords of man. Ruling powers feed paranoia, it's by absolute control. Reign of terror, reign of fear as their secrecy unfolds. Cultivated birth of carefully nurtured disinformation leads to cancerous evil growth of a supranationalistic nation. Brotherhood of fascists mutter stone-cold incantations. It's class division and lost security for a trigger-happy nation.
Very, very meaningful, to say the least, and I greatly appreciate your calling and sharing it with us. It's, let me read if I can. Let's see, someone has emailed this in. Can you hear and feel the sound? Walls and barriers, an extemporaneous concoction of rainbows and all kinds of colors, seen from day to days. Everyone's in such a hurry to buy this and purchase that at the feet of the great monument created by the great neon tube's glow, seen in everyone's homes, planet-wide. Everyone wants to get off in this fleshy material world. When I look at the Milky Way, I see a spine of stars pulling me through vaporous veins. The whole place might just blow apart at any moment, and we can see it coming, televised across the waves, the scene on the internet, TV, radios, and papers, and felt in the plain, thin air. They became what they beheld, says Marshall McLuhan, ringing in my ears as I drive down these streets. U.S. martial law to be declared by people dropping bombs worldwide, ready to establish laser-guided rods of God in the skies, to rain down on populations chosen for decimation by the gold diggers, the mammon worshippers, and by those slaughtering the cow and placing the animal at the foot of the great golden calf of our times. So I stayed away from the crush of the repeating history wheel. It's pretty tough to stay out of the way. It's a full-time job. I cannot believe this small band of thieves had gotten the population hoodwinked into looking the other way. Must have been some good advertising agencies on the job. It's all just beginning. It's all just ending. Scream the flowers, bending to the wind's currents. America is like a crazed baby shaking its nuclear rattle. In the name of progress, land and resource acquisition, and the sheer madness felt in experiencing life. Can you feel the cancer? Can you feel it all around? Can you feel the cancer? Can you see and hear the sound? By Jeff. Oh, thank you very, very much. That is very appropriate. No question about it. All your poems tonight on the program will be deemed to be appropriate, as they always are. There's one line left open on the board at 808-0810, and I'll continue with more here in a moment. And Poetry Night here in San Francisco and around the country and around the world on the Internet. Happy to have you aboard on KGO with your favorite poem. Let's go to Patrick in Monterey. You're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
Yes.
Well, I hope that the story is as interesting, because the poem is actually a lazy man's haiku.
Mm-hmm.
And the story surrounding it hopefully will be at least entertaining, I hope. Back in the early 90s, I had a radio show on a local public radio station down here once a week. They've since fired all their programmers. It's now taken over by the college. And I'm not going to mention the gentleman's name. I have mentioned him on the air before, because he is a friend, and I just think that it's kind of, on my part, tacky name-dropping, and it's just self-censorship on my part. But suffice to say that my friend co-wrote a very famous book with a friend of his that was a satire on the Illuminati and all the paranoid fantasies of the John Birch Society and people of that nature. And while I was working at the local Kinko's, a group of black leather-clad folk with black nail polish and piercings, someone dropped a manual that had not only Roman numerals, but Gothic Roman numerals. And I engaged this gentleman and said, well, you know, is that a fraternal organization? And he somehow looked shocked, or feigned being shocked, and said, well, yes, it's the OTO. I said, oh, you mean the Ordo Templi Orientis? And he said, well, yes, how do you know? I said, well, I'm interviewing so-and-so for my radio show. And I said, God, I'd love to interview you guys and play some music, you know, whatever you want to play in the background. Of course, I'll leave your names anonymous. And they said, no, they won't do that. But they invited me to come to some of their meetings. One thing led to another, and sooner or later we had a spring equinox celebration that they invited me to, and we were all supposed to write a poem, an ode to spring, which I thought, you know, the whole thing was kind of pretentious. So, you know, at the last minute, I came up with my lazy man's haiku, because it had four lines, and it didn't have the three lines and the 17 syllables. And they invited one gentleman down who had a girlfriend who looked like she stepped off the magazine pages of Playboy or Penthouse, and he had long hair and a beard, and he looked like he was a grand wizard, and his whole poem took a very long time, and it was kind of a blend of Swinburne, Poe, and H.P. Lovecraft through some really bad ecstasy or something. And when it came to be my turn, I thought, well, we'll see how they take this. And my lazy man's haiku was, ah, spring, sunshine, tanned women, and baseball, I like it. And I thought they were going to, like, drag me out in the street. But they all loved it, and I leveled the crowd. And one guy in one of the cloaks put his arm around me and said, you're just who we've been looking for. And I went, looking at him nervously, oh, good. And back, this was like 92 to 94. Back in the day when we all had more disposable income, I was foolish enough, a fool, and his money are soon parted, to give them $50, never got a single newsletter from them. So I guess, as my friend the writer would say, they were not one of the real legitimate OTO members.
Yeah, I see.
But I will say one thing. It was interesting that once again, all the weird stories about Aleister Crowley, not Crowley, my name is Aleister Crowley because that I am holy. Those who wish to treat me foully also call me Crowley. Whatever. I'm always interested in the weird stories about Aleister Crowley, that there's always someone in the group that has something to do with military intelligence. So once again, my little lazy man haiku for everyone who'd missed it. Ah, spring, sunshine, tanned women, and baseball. I like it.
There you go. Thank you very much. Really good to hear from you. And let's go to... let's go to Al in San Bruno. You're on KJO's Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Morning, Ray. How you doing, bro?
Oh, pretty great.
I was on the speakerphone. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wanted to,
Whoops. What happened to you? I guess you better get back on the speakerphone. In the meantime, let's go to Myra in Oakland. You're on KJO. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Myra Novice Willis, and I have a poem called Grand Visionary Stars.
Okay.
And it has been copywritten from Library of Congress, no rights reserved, copyright number TXU 969131.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Grand Visionary Stars. Dreams from afar. Images, pictures, quite defiant and extraordinary. Telescopic realms of faith, ornamental and embellishing thoughts are needed to behold grand visionary stars. Life with its vicissitudes and intricate trifles, a bullet of faith will rifle and project through a pillar of clouds to capture those grand visionary stars. Raindrops of faith, surrealism of light unseen, a cryptic, bright, grandiose star beyond an aspersion of dark clouds. That grand morning star reaches forth from the celestial lights to bestow a blanket of fire upon all who stand tall. Aspire, dare, to tear those gray pillars of clouds, to rise above the contemplative billows of light, and reach up for those grand visionary stars.
Oh, that's very, very good. Thank you so much. And I see that our great poet laureate of San Bruno, Al, has been resuscitated. Al, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Okay.
Man, I go to sleep every night listening to you.
Ah.
I love KGO, man. I quit watching TV a few months back, and all I do is read, write, and listen to KGO. And I've learned so much from all of you, Bernie, Bob, Gene, everybody, you know, Lynn, everybody, I've learned something. And I never called in. It's the first time caller, so I was a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to have a good reason to call in, and tonight is just a great night because I love to write.
Okay.
This first poem is actually something that I grew up in Berkeley, and it was on my wall. My older brother's friend or my older brother wrote it. It's real short, and then the other one I wrote. Can I?
Sure, sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The first one is, a woman is the greatest of all contradictions. A woman is the greatest of all contradictions. She can pick a man up, and she can cast a man down. She can make him her hero, her ruler, her clown. For you'll fancy that she's this, and you'll find that she's that. For she'll roar like a lion and be gentle as a cat. In the morning she will, and in the evening she won't. You're always thinking that she will, but a woman, she won't.
Oh my.
an unknown artist, a poet. I don't know who wrote that, but it was on my wall when I was a kid growing up, and my brother had bought it in. And it's really, I just remember it off the top of my head.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, and this one I wrote.
Okay.
Okay. This is for everyone, especially young people. It goes, lovers, 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 don't rush under the covers. If you're only 16, you might become a mother. Don't be fooled. Try being friends first. Otherwise, you might end up getting hurt. Everybody should know the talk of the town and all the nasty little things and diseases going around. I'm going to break it down so you can really understand. This is for the fellas. Don't follow your friends. Be your own leader. You can still be a man. As we grow a little older, we start to understand. The truth is the power. As we stick to the plan, the love of our neighbors brings peace to the land. With the freedom of speech and the power of the pen, use our craft as a weapon, not a gun in the hand, as we spread the message to the other man. Do it right the first time.
Oh, well, you certainly did it right in putting that one together. Thank you very, very much. Glad to have you listening. And certainly appreciate your writing and then calling and sharing it with the rest of us. That's what Poetry Night is all about. As I pause now for the ABC Network News over this ABC station at 2 in the morning. Poetry Night is just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful night. Of all of the things that I've ever done, quite frankly, on radio, and we get a lot of accolades, we win a lot of awards, you know, and all that sort of stuff, but the things, the words of appreciation are never trumped in relation to other activities over the air as they are when people are talking about Poetry Night. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to spend a few hours around the world with some wonderful human beings. I'm going to pause now for the news. Take a listen. I'll be back with more poems on Poetry Night here on KGO.
I'm Brad Wheelis. Iran is now threatening to end cooperation with UN nuclear inspectors, this after several international officials suggested there could be sanctions against Iran, which has resumed research on nuclear fuel. ABC's Keith Garvin is in Washington.
The big question today is what's next if the countries can't reach a diplomatic solution to this problem. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says military action is not an option at this point, but added the president never takes any of his options off the table.
President Bush will discuss the issue with Germany's new chancellor when the two meet at the White House today. It's looking more and more like Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito will be confirmed. He's finished testifying before the Judiciary Committee, but the hearing isn't over. ABC's Vic Rechner on Capitol Hill.
Judge Alito is done, but the hearings continue.
I guess I'd just have to express
one reason for the additional day. Senators who spend a lot of time talking rather than listening.
I can think of famous examples.
Republican John Cornyn spent 25 of his 30-minute period on one go-round talking, leaving only 5 minutes for answers. Democrat Joseph Biden, another time, talked for 24 minutes of his 30-minute period. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
Those prepaid cell phones could be a tool for terrorists. In an exclusive investigation, ABC News has learned the feds are looking into recent spikes in sales of prepaid phones. It's nearly impossible to trace those who buy the phones.
The application of prepaid phones for nefarious reasons is really widespread.
Roger Entner is a telecommunications consultant, and there have been a couple of incidents where people have tried to buy the phones in bulk. The feds fear terrorists may try to use the phones to plan attacks. President Bush says he sees optimism in the faces of hurricane victims.
It's good to see, be able to look in people's eyes and not see them all bloodshot.
The president was in Louisiana and Mississippi yesterday checking up on rebuilding efforts. You're listening to ABC News.
Criminal justice is one of America's fastest-growing career fields. With new jobs emerging in the private investigation and security fields, now is a good time for you to develop your skills in this exciting field. At the ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice, they teach you the fundamentals of the criminal justice system. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue exciting entry-level opportunities involving private investigations, workplace security, and insurance investigations. Write down this number. 1-800-851-4499. Find out how you can obtain an education that you can use to develop skills for a career in this fast-growing field. Classes meet just a few days a week, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Call 1-800-851-4499 for a brochure on the ITT Technical Institute School of Criminal Justice. Call now. 1-800-851-4499. 1-800-851-4499. 4499.
Kennedy cousin Michael Skakel lost an appeal before the Connecticut Supreme Court. According to the victim's mother, Skakel was found guilty of the 1975 murder of his neighbor, Martha Moxley. Lawyers for Enron founder Ken Lay and former CEO Jeffrey Skilling won their argument in court. A judge ruled taped conversations would not be admissible in the upcoming fraud and conspiracy trial. The phone calls included conversations about California's energy market. The judge said it wouldn't be fair because neither Lay nor Skilling was charged with illegal trading or market manipulation. Yahoo is now out of the business of selling Nazi memorabilia, and the company claims it shouldn't have to pay a fine imposed by the French. ABC's Alex Stone explains.
Yahoo filed a lawsuit trying to shield itself from a $15 million fine in Paris for selling Nazi merchandise on its auction website. The law in France prohibits the sale of any Nazi memorabilia. Yahoo claims that law does not apply in the U.S. and fining the company would infringe upon its American right to free speech. A federal appellate court in San Francisco tossed out the lawsuit, saying it doubts the French government will try to collect the $15 million. Yahoo is no longer selling Nazi memorabilia. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Another sign of the times. Nikon says it will stop making most of its film cameras. Few people are buying them, opting for digital cameras instead. Nikon helped popularize the 35mm camera. This is ABC News.
Medulloblastoma, hyperdiploidy, posterior mediastinum, Shimada classification. When an oncologist talks to you about childhood cancer, it could sound like a foreign language. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
I'm Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
KGO Radio News Time 2:05. Good morning. I'm Kim McAllister. Here's the latest now in the Bay Area and California. The San Francisco Board of Education is postponing their vote on whether to close or merge 26 of the city's 119 schools. Public comment at a meeting last night went on for more than 5 hours, and at times it was very loud. Hun hundreds of parents, students, and teachers attended last night's meeting. School board members are dealing with declining enrollment and a drop in revenue. School closures could save the district about $5 million. The parents say board members appear poised to shutter schools, primarily affecting minority students. Board member Lorna Ho says the situation is complex.
The fact of the matter is that we are in a tough fiscal situation. We have not had appropriate funding from the state for many years. And cumulatively, when you look at having to pay for rising labor costs and whatnot, it really does put the district in a tough position.
Declining enrollment is a growing problem. Attendance is down from 100,000 students in 1986 to just 56,000 today as families leave the city in search of affordable housing. The State Department of Education is reviewing a complaint from the League of United Latin American Citizens alleging discrimination in Mount Diablo schools. The group says some English as a second language students at Mount Diablo High School don't have textbooks for some of their classes. The Contra Costa Times says there are also allegations of blatant racism from teachers and other school staffers. The Latino group says about 80 families have come forward so far. Mount Diablo school officials, though, say no one has provided them the information they need to investigate these claims. Authorities are calling a deadly fall at the South San Francisco Embassy Suites Hotel an accident. They are still investigating. Lila Fangu worked at the hotel, reportedly as a clerk. The San Mateo Daily Journal says it appears the San Mateo woman was trying to climb from the balcony of one hotel room to the balcony of the room below and either slipped or fell. A man found in the room the 34-year-old woman fell from was questioned by police but not arrested. We'll go to the roads now and check your traffic. We do have a crash reported on the lower deck of the Bay Bridge, East 80, right before the toll plaza. It looks like a car and a big rig both on the shoulder now. Also, some overnight road work slowing down drivers in Marin County. Quite a detour for you, North 101. All lanes of traffic shut down at Sir Francis Drake, so drivers are taken off there down to the 580 freeway westbound and then back to northbound 101. It's another extra 5 minutes or so out of your time, so be prepared for that delay. North 280 shut down between Highway 1 and San Jose Avenue, not until 5 a.m. KGO traffic is brought to you by Sleep Train. Come into Sleep Train today during their huge inventory clearance sale. You'll find every premium mattress on sale, plus on approved credit, you pay no interest until 2008. KGO weather forecast. It is partly cloudy skies for the overnight hours with some patches of thick fog forming as well. For your Friday daytime, partly cloudy skies, a chance of rain late in the day, highs in the mid-50s to low 60s. Right now in San Francisco, 52 and cloudy. Kim McAllister, KGO Radio News.
And Ray Taja Farrell here on KG News Talk 810 on this Friday morning, the 13th of January, 2006. And our first poetry night for the year, 2006. Oh, we'll have others, but this is the first one, and happy to have so many of you. There's only one line open, left open on the board at 8080810. And so if there's a poem that you've written that you'd like to share with us, that's wonderful. It's also just as wonderful if there's a poem someone else has written that seems to catch your fancy and you'd like to share that with us. That's fine as well. But poetry night, it's time that we resorted to using truly some of the finest, the finest form of our language that we know of. Truly, it's a wonderful, wonderful way to communicate. You can say so much with so little, or even if it's longer than some of the haiku, and most are, the way that things are stated, the way that feelings are expressed, you can never find a more beautiful way to do that. Or more meaningful way, or more inspirational way to do this. So that's what we're doing this morning, and let me get right to it. at 10 past 2. I'm coming live from the ABC Broadcast Center in downtown San Francisco. And happy to have you aboard all over the United States of America and around the world on the Internet. I have some poems coming in from around the world, and I'll certainly get to those during the course of our program here. Nothing beats good poetry and wonderful music. Let's go to Joni in Washington. You're on KGO Tagliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. I have three poems. One I wrote, one my husband wrote, and one my friend Patty wrote. I'm a little nervous that it might be too long, but let me just start.
Sure.
Okay. If my husband wrote this poem, it's entitled Unemployed. I was reading some 18th century haiku about watching crows, looking at the moon, seeing the sun dance on the water, and the thought occurred to me, I am important. I don't work, and yet I am important. Though I may lay in bed in the middle of the day, I am important.
Very good.
I agree with him.
No, you are important. He is important. We all are.
And so are you. You really are.
Well, thank you.
The next one, my friend Patty wrote for me in 1978. And I lived in Las Vegas at the time, and we took a trip to the ocean. And we also went to Disneyland, and they had somebody take a picture of us, and it was we were standing under a lost children's sign, and that's about what I was.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Sunset on the Wrong Side of the World. Sunset by the ocean, bleeding skies paint the sea, splendid in its final hour, sunset on reality. Descending toward the edge of time, eerie scripts contort the water. Distorted hues with crimson smiles lead her placid soul to slaughter. Flaming skies and icy waves conceal her naked soul no more, and timeless truths of mortal man lay dead and rotting on the shore. Decaying castles made of sand and desperate laughter in disguise, grasping blessed solitude to hide tormented sleepless eyes. And sacred was the darkness her frail secret vowed to keep. Alas, the midnight has betrayed her, and screaming demons seize her sleep. Emerging from within the midnight, fiendish sights and odors vile desecrate all remaining, spewing filth and putrid bile. Reality lies broken in a thousand empty pieces on the brink of orange midnight. None to witness, reason ceases. Silence stares into the vacuum cast upon the salty water, brief yet all-consuming, reclaiming its forsaken daughter. Sunset by the ocean, awaiting sunrise by the sea, she fell beneath an absent moment as she touched reality.
My goodness.
Wasn't she good? It's a shame.
Oh, absolutely.
She did that in 78. I'm sure she must be under... we lost contact. I'm sure she's under another name writing today.
Well, you're absolutely wonderful to take the time to call. I really appreciate it. And I will continue with more of your fine artistry out there and poetry night here on KGO. Well, speaking of great poetry, one of my favorites, Bill Evans, great artistry at the piano. Talk about a musical poet. In the meantime, let me continue with your fine verses, phrases, lyrics, and one line open on the board at 808-0810. Let's go to Linda in Pebble Beach. You're on KGOTRE Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
This poem was actually written by my partner, Ed, and it's called Spirit Stallion because he gives me images of a white horse. So it goes like this. Spirit stallion running free through nodding meadow rye, muscles rippling powerfully, mane and tail swirling high, charging into consciousness from where ethereal dreams arise into the rapturescape of oneness where the spirit raven flies. The spawn of ultimate ecstasy and your soul's freedom to ascend to the pinnacle of love with me forever with no end.
Very nice.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, really nice.
Yeah.
Well, I won't go on with the stallion metaphor anymore.
Well, it's the visions of the horse.
I understand. Oh, and the stallions are beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. And so is Pebble Beach.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
And right next to me now, so thanks for listening.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, see, I told you, poetry makes you feel wonderful. My goodness. Let's go to Jose in Kensington. You're on KGOTRE Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning, Reverend Ray.
Yes.
I wish you a happy new year, a happy Friday the 13th, and a happy Dr. King Day.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Anyway, I have two short ones. First one I wrote, the second one's by one of America's greatest laureates, Langston Hughes. I think you'll appreciate this one. First one's called Radio Flashback, 22 Years on the Skeleton Crew in Radio Broadcasting. Here I am, once again. Cutting it close, pedals pumping, train shrieks through tunnel after tunnel. Seems just like 22 years ago. Was I stuck somewhere? Or maybe I'm just where I'm supposed to be, keeping the radio station on all night long. Music, news, and info for the masses, riding radio frequencies into space waves through the bleak, foggy dawn. Second one is called Ennui. It's by Langston Hughes. It's such a bore, always being poor. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. Good to hear from you, and good to hear from Mr. Hughes. And let's go to Robin in Oakland. You're on KGOTRE Taliaferro. Good morning.
Oh, Ray, thank you so much for having Poetry Night, and you have brought hyacinths to the soul, and we certainly needed it during these times. I wanted to share with you what a kind of, I don't believe in coincidences at this point, but about 4 weeks ago I was woken at 3:00 in the morning, and I'm always comforted knowing that you are out there saving the world, and I can't really claim credit for this that I'm going to share with you because it was dictated to me. And I have wanted to call and share it with you because it was so appropriate to the things that you were speaking of, and it just didn't seem the right thing. And then tonight, somehow or another, I woke up and turned on the radio, and here it is. And the only thing that I can take credit for here is the title, and it's called Reflection. It wasn't much as houses go. We built it on our own. My father's uncles and brothers put up the ceiling, walls, and floors. 3 stories high with balconies, my room was near the sky, a level roof where we could sit to catch the breeze as it blew by. And even though I was the only girl, I was educated well. But all of that seems so long ago. For years now, it's been hell. We, who had once been allies, were declared the enemy. The shock and awe of 10,000 bombs rained on our neighborhood. So many friends lost all they had, and yet our small house stood. The lights went out. The water stopped. And then there was the smell of bodies decomposing in the rubble where they fell. Tanks and trucks went up and down the few roads that were clear. The invaders never let us forget that they were always here. We lost three of my brothers. The fourth one lost his eye, his arm, and leg. My aunts and uncles all were killed. Mortars shooting like small comets through the midnight sky. I watched my father's heart just break, my precious mother's too, but still we had each other and stuck together just like glue. Then one night there were frightening booms of rifle butts pounding the door. My mother screamed while soldiers dragged my father across the floor. With all the questions shrieked at him, we hoped he'd stay alive, but they shot him in the head with a sidearm 45. The soul's gone from my mother's life. My brother's lost his mind. I try to feed them as best I can with what food I can find. I don't spend time in studying. These days I dress in black. And when I look into the mirror, a terrorist looks back.
Oh, boy, that is, well, it's extremely meaningful and very, very well written, and obviously something that I would imagine thousands and thousands of people have experienced. Once they go through that experience and look in the mirror, what else can they expect?
Yes, exactly.
And what else can we expect?
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, these are families just like us. They're not, you know, I mean, these are not trained soldiers.
Yeah.
This is not where, you know, armies are meeting armies. And, but it was just so phenomenal that it was like taking dictation. And I thank you so much. And bless you for the opportunity to be able to share this on behalf of whoever it is that sent me this poem.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's good to hear from you. And let's continue on with Poetry Night and go to Alan in Castro Valley. You're on KGO Trey Taja Farrow. Good morning.
Good morning. That last poem was great, by the way.
Really good, yes.
I'm Alan, and this poem I call Terrible Lies. And it goes like this. Why did you have to break the peace? Why did you have to start a war in the Middle East? Why did you take advantage of the 9/11 pain? America's knees we suffered during your presidential reign. Valor, integrity, and conscience you have not. Corruption, greed, and incompetence is all you got. During your term, America's had to suffer a terrible price to pay. It's going to take Democrats winning the House and Senate back in order to save the day.
Boy, isn't that true? Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. Thank you very much. And let's go to Lonnie in Petaluma. You're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro on Poetry Night.
Hi, Ray. This poem was inspired by my years of working in the San Francisco jails, and it's called Early Kickout. There was no look of the streets about her. Housewife and mother would describe her. The small, attractive, passive woman who sat with the population at breakfast. She had a special warmth, a sincerity that is rare here. She tried with what little strength and will was left to her. It was the lure of the poppy and a seafaring man who knew the tune and the words to the siren song of heroin. She had been here once before, but was now thinner, had less resolve. And I was not prepared to face the grief that comes from an undetected attachment when you find it will soon be severed by death. Yes, I'm going to die, she said. The shared needles had taken their toll. Her face was calm, almost at peace. But her eyes tore at me for an answer, a cure, a miracle. Now, on a lighter note, here's a poem called The Poetry Contest. It was the fourth contest I entered. I didn't win. I wrote about my horses. I wrote about Vanessa the Pharaoh. But it was a poem about Snow White that won.
Mm-hmm.
Another poetry contest I did not win. There's no way to spin. I did not win first prize, so don't start telling lies. Not even second place. How do I save face? Can I believe my eyes? I did not win third prize. What about honorable mention? Is it time to take a poetry pension? But I did get published in 89 in a sheriff's magazine ahead of its time. Snow White ran exceedingly fast. All of my horses came in last. Vanessa the Pharaoh is down the Nile with crocodiles following for a mile. Oh, well, I will not die. It's time for ice cream and pie.
Absolutely. Lisa, thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, good to hear from you. Well, it's good to hear from all of you. Poetry Night here on KGO is something I very, very much look forward to, and I'm sure that many of you do as well. What we're doing is sharing a poem that you might have written that you'd like to for us to hear, and or a poem that someone else created that inspires you, so you would like to pass it on to us. And that's what it's all about here on Poetry Night. And you do that by calling. There's a line open on the board at 808-0810. And continue to email poems in. I will just go to my little computer and read a few of them in a row, as I do have a lot of them up on the board now. You can reach me online at kgo.com or raytal.com as we continue with the first Poetry Night of 2006. I tell you, great, once again, great poetry and good music and good people. Well, you couldn't have the first two compliments without having the third one. And that's what it's all about. And I will continue in a moment. But first, let's go to Kim McAllister with an update on the news.
Ray, thank you. Good morning. It is an update from KGO Radio. Iran has taken a confrontational stance over its nuclear programs, threatening to stop cooperating with the UN on its program if it's referred to the UN Security Council for possible sanctions. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is joining the call by European countries to refer Iran to the Council. The Senate Judiciary Committee plans to hear outside witnesses testify today as the confirmation hearings for U.S. Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito continue. The panel is expected to move Alito's nomination to the full Senate next week. A man who was executed in 1992 in Virginia after being convicted of murder and rape almost certainly did commit the crimes. That according to DNA testing ordered by the governor there. The governor says he was seeking the truth in using DNA technology not available at the time of the execution. Maryland's controversial Walmart bill has become law. It will require companies with more than 10,000 employees in the state to spend at least 8% of their payroll on employee health care benefits or pay the difference in taxes. Walmart has said the measure unfairly targets the company and they'll weigh its decisions to open stores in the state on that. Here in San Francisco, the Board of Education postponed their vote on whether to close or merge 26 of the city's 119 schools. Public comment at the meeting last night went on for more than 5 hours, and as you heard at times, it got pretty loud. We'll go to the roads and check your traffic around the Bay Area. Does look like some road work still closing down North 101 in Marin County. Drivers taken off the road at Sir Francis Drake, put onto West 580, then back onto North 101, so plan for that delay. Also, northbound 280 on the peninsula, all lanes of traffic closed as well. That's from Highway 1 to San Jose Avenue until 5 o'clock this morning. KGO Traffic, brought to you by United Airlines. Out with the old, in with new low fares. United's got great deals to worldwide destinations. Book online, united.com, and earn 2,006 bonus miles. Or you can call 1-800-UNITED-1 today. KGO weather forecast, some patches of early morning fog. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies for your Friday. Slight chance of afternoon rain. Highs in the mid-50s to low-60s. Good chance of rain for your Saturday with a chance for isolated thunderstorms as well. Outside right now, we've got Santa Rosa checking in with 47 degrees, 46 for San Jose, 49 in Livermore, and in San Francisco, also 49 degrees. Kim McAllister, KGO Radio News.
And Ray Taliaferro here on KGO News Talk 810, Poetry Night. And, of course, a little bit of music by Bill Evans, one of the great pianists that we've, in our lifetime, we've been able to enjoy. And let me continue. I do have a line open on the board at 808-0810. But let me go to a poem sent in by on the internet by Philip Turner. Shattered Vessels, a poem from the Dark Age. Perceived division, religion, culture, or by race, joy displaced by pain in a wall dividing space. Suffering bestowed in the name of righteousness, violence beaten back, but that violence never rests. Never will it be halted by demarcation or a border, nor can it be segregated in support of order. Never has it been repelled by the fighting man sightlessly embracing an ignorant, illusory plan. Thrust into ego-driven lust for power and control, blindly rushing toward the confluence of the inevitable untold. Shattered spirits, fractured families, clay vessels easily broken, parched the earth, their worthless shards, we've made men our only token. The assailants are consumed by unforgiving sands of time, but forever are the echoes of their misdeeds much decried. Without stressing education, there's no semblance of a chance, yet building more and larger prisons has become the major stance. Youthful violence and cruelty, they're the children of annihilation. They'll mark the beginning of the end for a fading civilization. Ever-enveloping darkness, the parent of devastation's might, it befits this age of darkness and obscures all truth and light. Christian fervor misguides many into following a hateful cause. Truly faithful have a momentary opportunity with which to give it pause. Revenge by lethal injection couldn't be the Christian plan. An eye for an eye begets blindness for the likes of man. It's totally twisted wreckage, the religion of science perverted, experimental bacillus, chemical weapons and plutonium converted, gases suffocate and eradicate, necrotic netherland, insular safety for the chosen, for wealthy overlords of man. Ruling powers feed paranoia by its absolute control. Reign of terror, reign of fear as their secrecy unfolds. Cultivated birth of carefully nurtured disinformation leads to cancerous evil growth of a supernationalistic nation. Brotherhood of fascists mutter stone-cold incantations. It's class division and lost security for a trigger-happy nation. Oh, very, very well written. And one other submission here, a little shorter. The Sea of Life. Oars dipped into the swirling vapors of ether's past, seeking validation within its superficial atmosphere. Brightness reassures, embracing our sense of security, illuminating the immediate expanse of emotion and commotion. Swirling strokes propelled through what was and what might be. Spirits rise and burst forth from their imprisoned reflections. Many melt back into the swirling seas from which they were born. Still others merge and conjoin the discarded empty shells, a reminder of the visit. Very few rising, enrapturing, and radiating, burning all too brightly, too briefly. Unseen forces lie embedded within the tiller of destiny, guided by rarely revealed glimpses of clarity and course. Panic seizes sensibilities, lurching toward a direction unknown, enslaved by our self-blinding sight, engulfed in rising mire, enduring with the fading glimmering memory of eternity. Yeah, well, thank you very much, Philip. For those. And let me continue with your poems. I have a line open on the board at 808-0810. Charlotte in Reading, you're on KGO at Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
You're using the music as poetry. Reminds me of my mother. When I was about 15, I said I didn't like poetry. I hated poetry. And she said, no, you don't. You like to sing. And then she named Ogden Nash and some others that I liked. And I still remember her tromping up and down the living room in her nightgown reading Kipling to me.
Yeah, I see.
Anyhow, I didn't start writing anything until after she had died, really. Mm-hmm. I'd written a few things, but nothing. I've written quite a bit since then. Each year for the last four, I put out about a 12-page booklet for friends of mine and family. And it's mostly autobiographical, and this one is. But Daddy thought the market would make our money more, so he invested my savings with some income from the store. Black Friday took the money, both his and mine. 7 years old, I was wiped out in 29.
Oh, boy.
And then I disagreed with Tom Brokaw about us being the greatest generation. I'm 83.
Yes.
I disagreed with him about it. And about 1903, I wrote a poem I called Brokaw's Confusion. But it didn't satisfy me. And then I wrote this, and it was just for my kids. And I called it Your Ancestors. When John Winthrop asked his Puritan band who would venture with him to a wild and primitive land, Joseph Josiah and 15-year-old Henry Kingsbury came to make a stand. They rose to the occasion. Great, 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 great grandfather Asa was wounded and died in the Lexington and Concord confrontation. His son Asa, too, fought to establish the nation. They rose to the occasion. John Parker was an emigrant Scot who thought men should not be sold or bought. For that belief, he proudly fought. He rose to the occasion. When someone callously sank the Maine, we said, that can't happen again. And Uncle Dan Bernard went to fight with Spain. He rose to the occasion. When Wilson sent men over there, Lee Rose, it may amaze you, sent two long years in Asia. He rose to the occasion. When Pearl Harbor was bombed by Japs, there were no ifs, ands, or perhaps. Your relatives spread all over the map. Uncle Charlie Cunningham died as a prisoner of war in the Philippines. Cousin Don Larson died at Tarawa. Two Currys served on Bougainville and other exotic Pacific spots. The other Curry was shot down over Romania. From Guadalcanal, Bill Wilson bombed across the Pacific. Bob Henry went all the way down under and came up through Hawaii, Bora Bora, Noumea, Saipan, Tinia, and Japan. They had the greatest challenge, but like Americans always, they rose to the occasion. And I think that's a much better expression than what I did last
year. Yeah, I see. Well, I greatly appreciate it.
Well, I enjoy it, and like I say, I did tell my mother when I was in high school that I hated poetry, but we had to memorize a poem a month.
Well, you know, I often wonder, now, obviously, when people are learning about poetry, and you do learn from the very early years, especially the how things rhyme, and you'll read rhymes because they take on a certain significance at that age. But really, when it comes to what I call grand poetry, it takes you, you can't really force it on you. There comes a time in your life when all of a sudden there is a spark that is that ignites a whole sense and aura about you and the way that you feel you wish to communicate and the way you understand people communicating with you through poetry. And you really can't develop a sense of enjoyment from it, or even meaning from it, unless that spark is ignited. And as you say, after the death of your mother, you then went on to appreciate this whole form.
Appreciating it before that, but the first thing that the kids asked me when I taught a one-room country school during World War II was, do we got to learn poetry?
Yeah, right.
And I said, no. So I read to them a few minutes after lunch every day.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple of months, I didn't read our regular story. I read poems to them. And it reached a point where they would say, well, when are we going to have poetry again?
Yeah, why?
And one of the boys would demand that I do The Clock on the Stair. I'm not sure who wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
But, there was a refrain, forever, never, never, forever. And he just loved that.
I see. Well,
I better go.
Okay, I greatly appreciate your call. Thank you very much. It's really good to hear from you. And good to hear from all of you. There's a line open on the board at 8080810. And there was a very, very famous poet, actually, in San Francisco who died just very recently, and in fact had a memorial service this past Saturday, January the 7th. And I'm very grateful that someone has sent me an Edith Jenkins poem. I knew them very, very well. She and her late husband, David Jenkins, one of our greater labor leaders, actually, and known them for years. And so she wrote... Well, she wrote a lot, actually, and well-published. This one is called The Wildebeest. The wildebeest, or else the new, it ranks are great, its brains are few. When wandering on the wide savanna, it ambles in a gentle manner. But when it chooses to stampede, no news are good news, I concede. And that's from selected poems by Edith Jenkins. She was one very, very wonderful person, and just brilliant in her poetry. So thank you. Let's see, let me get the attribution right here. Offered in memory of Edith A. Jenkins, my poetry teacher, as well as in the memory of Julian Boyd, acquaintance and friend. And thank you very much, Tonyo. Okay, let me get back to the phones here at 2:51 in the morning. And go to Gabriel. You're on KJO Trey Taliaferro. Good morning. Really great.
Hey, I want to say two things before I wear this poem, because when I say I wear this poem, I really value what this author, this expressionist of this medium, you know, felt and expressed. Two things. I mean, first thing, I want to dedicate this poem to all the independent thinkers who have contributed tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I want to send this out to you, because I really value the things you bring to me and to everybody here tonight in the Bay Area. And
thank you.
I just value the things you do, and with those things, you also bring us good music, and you bring us a little bit of yourself. And with that, I want to kind of bring to it myself. And this poem that I bring to you tonight, it's from Maya Angelou, And I just want to send this out to everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's titled, I Am a Christian. When I say I am a Christian, I am not shouting, I am clean living. I am whispering, I was lost. Now I'm found and forgiven. When I say I am a Christian, I don't speak of this with pride. I am confessing that I've stumbled and need Christ to be my guide. When I say I am a Christian, I am not trying to be strong. I am professing that I'm weak and need His strength to carry on. When I say I am a Christian, I am not claiming to be perfect, not perfect. My flaws are far too visible, but God believes I am worth it. When I say I am a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I have my share of heartaches, so I call upon His name. When I say I am a Christian, I am not holier than thou. I am just a simple sinner who has received God's grace somehow. Thanks, Ray.
Hello. Thank you very, very much. And thank you very much for the Maya Angelou. What a lady. What a human being. And what a great poetic practitioner of the language. And she's quite the writer. I've met a lot of people during my life, and she's one that I've met and thoroughly enjoyed having met her on a number of occasions. And she has really, really inspired a lot of people. Talk about those presidential inaugural events. Yeah, she was the poet laureate for one of them. And so the whole country, the whole world got to hear her. And from the I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, we'll just go down in the annals of some of the best writing, meaningful writing, that anybody has ever done. Maya Angelou, quite a person. I remember when I first met her, I was emceeing an event here in San Francisco, and she was a participant. And we met backstage, and the first words out of her mouth were very typical. She says, "Oh, Ray Taliaferro, my mother listens to you all the time." As a matter of fact, every time I call her, she has to tell me what you just got finished saying. Well, there you be. There you be. Thank you, Maya. Property name, Angelou. That's got to have something to do with being an angel. And she certainly is. Let's go to Bobby in San Francisco. You're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Hi.
Yes.
Really and truly appreciate your hosting for Poetry Night. And I want to make one quick announcement, if I may, about a town hall meeting that's happening this Saturday, January 14th at Marina Middle School. It's a town hall meeting hosted by Nancy Pelosi at 10 a.m. to about 11:30 a.m. And it's at Marina Middle School, 3500 Fillmore Street. It's going to be on national security, so if anybody's concerned about that, might want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a phone number to call to just RSVP, 556-4867. That's the 415 area code.
Hope everybody swells the ranks.
Yes, I do too, and make some important changes in this government. But the thing I'm going to read is not really political. It's untitled, and here it is. The sexual revolution never occurred. It was a good try at something that should have happened but didn't. Here are some ways you will know when the sexual revolution has happened. The sexual revolution will have occurred when carnal attraction or erotic behavior is no longer referred to as sex. The sexual revolution will have occurred when being called a certain genitalia will be considered a compliment instead of a curse. When every single law that states genitalia are obscene has been abolished. The sexual revolution will have occurred when erotic encounters between two consenting human beings of any sex or kind is not illegal nor frowned upon by society. When a certain woman named Anita sings a song about a certain kind of love between two women. When the Pope is converted to homosexuality, or at least open to the experience of it. When Playboy magazine has as many male models as female, or the magazine goes bankrupt. The sexual revolution will have occurred when a woman can bare her breasts in public to give milk to her child with as little thought as she may give a pacifier to her child. When a woman at the end of a victorious sporting match can tear her jersey off and her bra, baring her chest in exultation. The sexual revolution will have occurred when children can ask any question they can dream up about how they got here, and their parents or guardians or teachers are happy to tell them in all candor. When high-level public health officials can talk about masturbation and anything else to do with erotic arousal without being reprimanded or dismissed from their positions. When all or a good many of these things have occurred, you will know that the sexual, or better, the sensual revolution has happened.
Very well stated, really. Thank you very, very much. Very, very well stated. Well, folks, Poetry Night. Oh, I just love it. I really do. And we have 50% of it has now been consumed, but we have another 2 hours here until 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to pause now for the ABC Network News at 3. I'll be back in a moment with more poetry.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. New worries that would-be terrorists might use prepaid untraceable cell phones to plan attacks and evade detection. With an ABC News exclusive, here's Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross.
Federal officials have revealed to ABC News three separate reports of individuals buying or trying to buy huge quantities of untraceable throwaway phones. Former FBI agent Jack Hoonan is an ABC News consultant.
One can walk in, purchase it in cash, and you don't frankly know who bought this.
The FBI was called on New Year's Eve when a Walmart clerk in Midland, Texas, became suspicious of six individuals from Pakistan and Iraq trying to buy dozens of the phones with cash. The FBI has told its agents nationwide to be on the alert. I'm Brian Ross, ABC News.
150 prepaid cell phones also bought on New Year's Eve at a Target near Palm Springs, California. Senate confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito just about done. ABC's Vic Ratner tells us the Senate Judiciary Committee still has some loose ends to tie up.
It's like extra homework. Additional written questions that several senators want Samuel Alito to answer in writing before they vote. The committee expects to finish its hearings today with panels of witnesses for and against the nominee.
The committee expected to vote early next week. Alito is expected to be confirmed at the Supreme Court. The next presidential election, still a couple of years away, but many already wondering about New York Democratic Senator Hillary Clinton. Last night on ABC's Nightline, former President Bill Clinton was asked whether he thinks his wife could be elected president.
I don't even know she's going to run. First of all, she's got to get reelected.
Former President Clinton, ABC's Nightline. In case you didn't notice today's date, it is Friday the 13th. Those who are superstitious will be on the lookout for black cats and handle mirrors carefully. The fear of Friday the 13th is called triskaidekaphobia. You're listening to ABC News.
At Sea Crane, we are well aware of the value of personal service. This is Bob, and our staff will do their best to answer your questions and help you when you call Sea Crane Company. At Sea Crane, we don't work on commission, and so when you call, you won't hear a sales pitch. Instead, you'll hear simple, honest advice about any one of the outstanding items in our unique catalog. And every one of our items, from radios to water purifiers is selected by its quality alone. At Seacrane, customer care begins with your first call. Our commitment to you is to answer your questions and help you select the best item for your needs. You'll get 30 days to make sure you're pleased with your order.
Go to the web at ccradio.com or call the Seacrane Company at 800-522-8863 for a free Seacrane catalog. That's 800-522-8863. The Seacrane Company. Discover something new today.
Iran's nuclear program expected to be a prime topic when President Bush meets with new German Chancellor Angela Merkel, White House today. Iran's threatening to stop cooperating with UN inspectors if it's referred to the Security Council for sanctions. In southern Russia, a train slammed into a van today carrying schoolchildren. The reports of at least 17 fatalities. The National Coalition for the Homeless out of the 10-year list of the 20 meanest cities in the country when it comes to treatment of homeless people. Number one on the meanest list, Sarasota, Florida, which recently imposed the no-camping rule. Next, Lawrence, Kansas, Little Rock, Atlanta, Las Vegas. A Pennsylvania man auctioning off his Elvis memorabilia hopes of winning back a lost love.
It all began with this. Jim Curtin bought the record as a child and became obsessed. He amassed one of the largest private Elvis memorabilia collections in the world, more than 50,000 pieces. Well, now it's being auctioned off and is expected to bring in over $1 million. Curtin is trying to win back his ex-girlfriend, who said the collection ruled his every move, but it appears he may be headed for... The ex says she wants nothing to do with him and is engaged to someone else. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
The Beach Boys have filed suit seeking millions in damages from two California men claiming they stole a trove of photos, recordings, and other band memorabilia from a warehouse with the intent of auctioning that stuff off. This is ABC News.
You say the best things in life are free. So, hey, why are we paying so much for our basic information and entertainment needs? The average cable TV bill has more than doubled in the last 10 years. The price of movie tickets keeps going up. So, exactly what is free today anyway? Well, you're listening to it. Local radio. Support the advertisers that support this radio station. And keep listening. We won't send you a bill. There are still some things you just shouldn't have to pay for.
Doug Limerick, ABC News.
KGO Radio News Time, 3:05. Good morning. I'm Kim McAllister. Here's the latest in the Bay Area and the state. The San Francisco Board of Education is postponing their vote on whether to close or merge 26 of the city's 119 schools. Public comment at a meeting last night went for more than 5 hours and at times got pretty loud. Hundreds of parents, students, teachers attended last night's meeting. The school board members dealing with declining enrollment and a drop in revenue. School closures could save the district about $5 million. The parents say the board members appear poised to shutter schools, primarily affecting minority students. Board member Lorna Ho said the situation is pretty complex.
The fact of the matter is that we are in a tough fiscal situation. We have not had appropriate funding from the state for many years. And cumulatively, when you look at having to pay for rising labor costs and whatnot, it really does put the district in a tough position.
Declining enrollment is a growing problem. Attendance is down from 100,000 students in 1986 to just 56,000 today as families leave San Francisco in search of affordable housing. Three Bay Area high schools made the list of California's 10 most promising high schools. Windsor High joins the MIT Academy in Vallejo and Galileo High in San Francisco. They are just three of 75 such schools across the country to be named promising, all of which will be linked in a communications network to share information. The State Department of Education is reviewing a complaint from the League of United Latin American Citizens alleging discrimination in Mount Diablo schools. The group says some English as a second language students at Mount Diablo High don't have textbooks for some of their classes. The Contra Costa Times says there are also allegations of blatant racism from teachers and other school staffers. The Latino group says so far about 80 families have come forward, but Mount Diablo school officials say no one has provided the information needed to investigate the claims. Authorities are calling a deadly fall at the South San Francisco Embassy Suites Hotel an accident. They are still investigating. Lila Fangu worked at the hotel reportedly as a clerk. San Mateo Daily Journal says it appears the 34-year-old San Mateo woman was trying to climb from a balcony of one hotel room to the balcony of the room below and either slipped or fell. The man found in the room where she fell was questioned by police but not arrested. On the roads this morning, an overnight road work closure has North 101 shut down in Marin County. Drivers taken off at Sir Francis Drake to West 580 and then back to North 101 in San Rafael, about 5 to 10 minutes out of your way. Also, some overnight road work shutting down North 280 between Highway 1 and San Jose Avenue. That road closure going on until 5 o'clock this morning. KGO traffic is brought to you by Mancini Sleep World, rather. Save big during Mancini Sleep World's truckload mattress sale. They'll beat anyone's advertised price by 10%, or your mattress is free. Call 1-800-64-SLEEP for Mancini's Sleep World. KGO weather forecast, partly cloudy skies during the overnight, some patches of thick fog as well, a chance of rain later in the day, highs in the 50s and 60s. Currently 52 in San Francisco. Kim McAllister, KGO Radio News.
KGO.
And good morning again to Ray Taliaferro with Poetry Night here on KGO News Talk 810, coming live from the ABC Broadcast Center in downtown San Francisco on this Friday morning. It is 3:09. Every now and then we move away from the news talk as such and look for some real beauty in expressions, and that is the reason we bring Poetry Night here on the Ray Taliaferro program on KGO. And I've been doing this for over 20 years. We do it whenever we feel we need to do it. about three times a year. And this is the first Poetry Night for this year, 2006. And what a significant year this is. It's going to be extremely important in our lives, and so we might need to pull a little oasis from time to time, and that's what Poetry Night is all about. There are some wonderful poems that have been sent in, and let me see if I can start this hour with one called Short Timers by Terry Young. It's quite a poem, I must say. I just looked on the internet and clicked on the many, many poems that you folks have sent to me. Oh, by the way, any poem that you feel that you're inspired by, whatever the theme, you know, it could be romantic, something quite memorable to you, political, obviously, and whatever you feel that it can be comedic and so forth. Just give a call. Most of the lines are blinking away, but there is a line left open on the board at 808-0810. And there is, the area code is 415, and you can email me at raytal.com or kgo.com. And let me read you this poem. It's called Short Timers. Move over and make room for the new guys from Iraq, said the old man from the NAM as he cleared a space on the L.A. sidewalk. I was once a new guy. I'm a short-timer now. So short, he'd need a ladder to climb on a dime, said a dying vet. So short, he'd have to look up to look down, said a one-eyed veteran of the Delta. 200 days and a wake-up. unless he lives past March, said a gray-bearded door gunner. Make room for our replacements, the changing of the guard, said a man with no face. By Terry Young. That really says a lot. There's no question about it. Short-timers make a move over and make room for the new guys from Iraq. Oh, how sad. But how meaningful and how realistic it is. And as we see more and more folk coming home, many of them with parts of their bodies missing, many of them with parts of their minds missing, and thousands of them in body bags, but certainly those who will try to eke out an existence, because I'm not certain that veterans are treated any better today by the government that sends them abroad than they were at the time of Vietnam. I was in the middle of yesterday. I was in a great meeting and speaking of homelessness and the people out on the streets. This subject was brought up. Vietnam, of course, with the veterans returning, really swelled the ranks of the homeless on the streets, on the sidewalks, in the alleyways of our metropolitan areas. And there are reports now that some returning from Iraq are indeed the new guys on the block. How sad, really. Let's go to Lou at Half Moon Bay. You're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. I used to be Lou in Sacramento, where for 18 years I drove a yellow cab. I sent you a book I wrote about some of my adventures.
Oh, yes. Oh, you certainly did.
Yes. In any event, it's good to talk to you again. And now that I'm retired here in Half Moon Bay, I no longer have captive audiences for my poetry.
Yeah, I see.
So I actually had two people jump from my moving car. But
yeah, I see.
Anyways, I really do appreciate this opportunity to inflict my verse on the entire West Coast and beyond. I have three relatively short offerings this morning, so let me just launch into them. First, this one. If I could make time stop for just one moment and make that moment last for all time, I would choose that perfect time when we were the only two people in the entire universe and the wild, wanton abandon of your undulation seared itself into my memory forever. Yes, if I could make time stop for just one moment, it would be that magic moment when you were trying to smother me with your passion, and I was in heaven. And then the second one is...
Did you get out of heaven in order to write the second one?
Yeah, I finally, yeah.
Yeah,
I
see.
It's been a while, though. I was floating in.
Yeah.
I am an incurable romantic. I really can't help myself.
Yes, indeed.
And the second one goes like this. Your eyes are closed. Your breath escapes in soft moans, each of which pierce my heart as if they were arrows shot from Cupid's bow, and each of which make me fall even more helplessly in love with you. Tears of joy flow as uncontrollably from my eyes as these words flow from my heart. It's been over 3 years since I have been graced with your complete company, and I have yet to completely catch my breath from that last wondrous encounter. No one has ever touched me the way you do. No one has ever so profoundly captured my helpless heart.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and the third and last one is, you are a rare and radiant flower just now starting to bloom, and I feel so incredibly lucky to know you as I do. If I never again get to taste those sweet, sweet lips, memories of you will keep me warm my whole life through. if I never again get to listen to the beating of that heart, so brave, strong, and true, then, even then, my dearest, sweetest love, my dying thoughts will be of you.
Oh, wow. Lou, I mean, this is wonderful stuff.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's really good to hear from you again. And the poet laureate, the romantic poet laureate of Half Moon Bay. Beautiful little romantic community nestled right on the ocean, actually. But there is a little bay. What can I say? Wow. Jeez. Let's see if Danny in Mill Valley can top that. Good morning.
Hi, Ray.
Yes.
Thank you for this radio time. I have one called Evidence of Decadence. But first, could I read you a stanza from another one?
Sure.
For brevity's sake, it's fairly long, so I'll just read you one stanza from this one called I Don't Want to Hear Who You Want to Hang. It's a little out of context, but I'll give you the one stanza here. I don't want to hear more Darwinian domination dogma. That's just divisive demagogic drama. We live in a brand new cultural panorama. Everything changed after Hiroshima, and now we know that Bush is Osama.
Oh, boy.
Sponsoring gratuitous trauma. Our extinction will result from that karma. Don't desecrate humanity's mama. Listen to the words of the Dalai Lama. That's a stanza from I Don't Want to Hear Who You Want to Hang. So now I'll give you Evidence of Decadence. What does it say about a country whose leaders behave as if hypocrisy were a virtue? What does it say about a culture that plays survivor games for fun while it forces others to play survivor games with a gun? What does it say about people who believe that selective indignation is compassionate consideration? What does it say about a moral climate where pathetic pundits of pessimism are palatable and fatalistic fascism is fashionable? What does it say about a national psyche that is diligent about superficial self-improvement and negligent about others' blatant torment? What does it say about a president that tells the children to go with mom to Disneyland while he goes with bomb to Holy Land? What does it say about a land where poetry is passé and philosophy thoughtlessly cast away? Where poets and philosophers have been replaced by military officers? What does it say about those who cannot understand that missiles guided by misguided morality is brutality? What does it say about a society that spends more to violently dominate the world than it would cost to benevolently accommodate the world? What does it say about a species that is committing unwitting suicide? Yes, we are committing unwitting suicide just when peace and prosperity is possible worldwide. And finally, I say, what does it say about us if we haughtily humiliate humanity? What does it say about us if we haughtily humiliate humanity in spite of remedy, in spite of grace, in spite of self? So very ruthless, so very ruthless without a cause.
That's it, Ray.
Oh, I tell you, that's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very, very much. And, boy, I'm just enjoying this very, very much, to say the least. And I do have a line open on the board now that you can grab a hold of at 808-0810. And let's go to Carol in Oakland. You're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning. I can't follow that act.
Yeah, you see.
My God. That was it.
Well, extremely well done.
That was it. Well, to buffer my pain here,
yeah.
I'm going to read a couple of lines from Martin Luther King, and then I'll read my poor excuse for a poem. Anyway, the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and critic of the state and never its tool.
Very well stated by Dr. King.
That was MLK. During the last two world wars, national churches even functioned as the ready lackeys of the state, sprinkling holy water upon the battleships and joining the mighty armies in singing "Praise the Lord" and "Pass the Ammunition." Meanwhile, a weary world, pleading desperately for peace, has often found the church morally sanctioning war. That's my remarks to the church, me and Martin. Anyway, here's my short poem, America. Should fear cause you to hide behind false security? Why trust wolves who promise safety while ravaging your liberty, not to mention your young and their dignity? Cast out the liars and thieves from your land. Be brave. Let freedom and justice ring out to eternity. That's it.
That is very, very wonderful. Yeah, I always appreciate your participating in poetry. Night. Thank you very much. And let me continue. My goodness. Let's go to Linda. You're on KGO at Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ray. I'm a blackjack dealer on my way home from work, and I caught your show, so I just want to thank you for keeping me company.
Ah. Did we make any money tonight?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay. I see. And now you're going to make poetry.
Yeah, I actually pulled over in a parking lot and jotted this down from memory. I wrote this in 1968 when I was an eighth grader.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite the decade, and, well, I'll just read it. Who's next? We ask, we plead, we pray. Whose life the price of freedom must pay? This is a decade of assassination. We can't let it lead to our ruination. Although our hearts may be torn with hate, we must hang on and keep faith. Who's to blame for what happened in Dallas? Well, in our hearts, we all share the malice. In our ears, the echoes still ring. Someone shot Martin Luther King. Now, too soon, another tragedy is known, and we all join in the deafening moan. All these men may not have died if more of us had tried, just tried. Because they're dead, their dreams must not cease, that someday we will have brotherhood and peace.
Oh, you wrote that?
I wrote that when I was 14, right after Robert Kennedy was shot.
Oh, my.
And it's been on my heart for years, and I wanted to send it to Coretta Scott King.
Oh, yes.
Years, and I've never done it. Well, maybe you can help me find out how to do it, because life takes over and it slips in the back, but it seems like she should know that.
Oh, and
a generation of people that remember.
Oh, very definitely so. And, of course, this is the Martin Luther King weekend coming up. It is a federal holiday, Monday, and I intend on talking about it when I come on the air Monday morning. But, yeah, I'd be more than happy to. She, I'm sure, would really enjoy that. So I greatly appreciate your taking the time. Thank you for pulling over and sharing it with us. Boy, very nicely created. Let's go to Justin in San Francisco. You're on KGO Radio Faro. Good morning.
Yes, indeed, Ray. Thank you. Indeed, it's a great pleasure and honor to share the airwaves with you.
Well, thank you.
I have a couple of brief poems. The first one is for a woman we know very well, Miss Laverne Baker.
Oh, yes.
And it's called Northbound Express. As recognizably African, American as Ellington or Langston Hughes, what people mean these days when they say rhythm and blues? Not too much rock, but a whole lot of roll, with no screeching guitars vying for control. An obligatory tenor sax solo spooned from a bucket of gut blues, with a gospel bridge to pay its dues. The love-bitten sound of a people on the move. It behooves you listen, Black America's in a groove.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, thank you, Ray.
Yeah, very much so. And you have another one?
Yes, I have another original.
Mm-hmm.
This one's untitled. Gene Pool of Weekend Warriors, Cowards and Voyeurs, the copious flow of black blood on their altar to stain their spirits with hue, man, it, why, we, who have studied their tomes of hatred and apathy, their ignorance and alienation, know that even our blood will not cleanse their foul breath. Who gave these liars room to breathe?
My goodness, I really appreciate your taking the time to call, and those are great. So thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you very much, Frank.
Okay, have a good Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. Yes, indeed. Great stuff here. My goodness. I do now have a line open on the board. If you'd like to grab it at 808-0810 and continue to email in at raytal.com, and I will read more and hear from you in just a moment. But first, let's go to Kim McAllister with an update on the news.
Ray, thank you. Good morning. It is an update now from KGO Radio. Iran says it will end voluntary cooperation with the United Nations over its nuclear program if it is referred to the UN Security Council for possible sanctions. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is joining the call by European countries for such a move. British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw says sanctions are on the table. The confirmation process for U.S. Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito wraps up today as the Senate Judiciary Committee hears from outside witnesses. Alito completed testifying yesterday. Committee is expected to move Alito's nomination to the full Senate next week for an up or down vote. It appears he'll be confirmed. Conservative Christian broadcaster Pat Robertson has taken a step back from his comments last week concerning the massive stroke suffered by Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. In a letter to Sharon's family, he said he expressed his concern for the Israeli leader on his show and asked forgiveness for his remark about Sharon being punished for his intention to divide the Holy Land.
My zeal, my love of Israel, and my concern for the future safety of your nation led me to make remarks which I can now view in retrospect as inappropriate and insensitive in light of a national grief experienced because of your father's illness.
Authorities are growing increasingly concerned about a possible link between terrorism and so-called disposable or throwaway cell phones. Phones don't require purchasers to sign a contract or present a credit card. ABC News reports that federal agents are now investigating the purchase of large quantities of those phones by people believed to be of Middle Eastern or Pakistani descent. We'll head to the roads now and check on traffic around the Bay Area. No major accidents to report to you, but major road work is slowing you down in Marin County, North 101. All lanes are closed off. Drivers taken off the roadway there at Sir Francis Drake Boulevard out to West 580 and then back on to North 101. All in all, between 5 and 10 minutes detour there for you. So North 101, the lanes of traffic closed off at Sir Francis Drake Boulevard, that until 5 o'clock this morning. North 280 is closed as well between Highway 1 and San Jose Avenue, that until 5 a.m. Your KGO traffic is brought to you by Mancini Sleep World. Save big during Mancini Sleep World's truckload mattress sale. They'll beat anyone's advertised price by 10%, or your mattress is free. Call 1-800-64-SLEEP. KGO weather forecast, some early morning patches of thick fog, otherwise partly cloudy skies for your Friday with a chance of late afternoon rain, highs in the 50s and 60s, rain likely for your Saturday. Right now, 46 in Santa Rosa, 45 for San Jose, Monterey with 48 degrees, Concord at 47, San Francisco 48. Kim McAllister, KGO Radio News.
And Cajun News Talk time here in San Francisco is 3:35, and happy to have all of you with us on this poetry night, the first poetry night for the year 2006. And let me continue to hear from you by going to Tom in Pacifica. You're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Hey, Ray. How you doing?
Really great.
I have one for you that's a bit out of the envelope as compared to the rest of the wonderful poems I've been listening to by your callers this AM. I have a grandson, a great-grandson, rather, and he has a habit of stepping on snails to release his anxieties. So I wrote this poem, and I accompanied it with a cartoon, since I am a cartoonist. It's called Stepping on Snails.
Mm-hmm.
On them kind of days when I get mad, especially mad at mom or dad, I got to do something really bad, so I step on snails. The other day I used dad's hammer, smacked my finger and started to stammer, ran outside in a terrible clamor and stepped on snails. It ain't so hard to find a snail. You just got to look for their morning trail. They're always there in front of their tail. Then you step on them. Yesterday morning, I fell off my bike, got in a fight with my friend Mike, and a couple other things I didn't like. I just had to find a snail. When I've had about all I can take, you can be sure without mistake that some snail house is going to break. Here I come, snails. Caught the flu, mixed with other ails. It's been a quiet week for them darn snails. Bet about me, they tell funny tales. I'm almost well, Snails. Ran barefoot in the grass the other night. There was this snail hit clear out of sight. Even now it makes my stomach tight. Stupid snail. I went to Grandma's, and that's many miles. The snails in her yard are piles and piles, and each one of them had a face full of smiles. Bet I'll never get my shoes clean.
Yeah.
I dreamed the other night, and it woke me up with a terrible fright. I dreamed there wasn't a snail in sight. I cried. Maybe when I turn old and gray, I'll find myself another way, instead of snipping on snails to make my day. But I think for now, right here, I'll stay. That's it, Ray.
Well, thank you so much.
You're great, man.
Okay.
Quite often, and I agree with 99% of what you say.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's really good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a great weekend. And let's go to Susan in Sacramento, you're on KGO. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
I have a poem that I wrote in remembrance of my mother who passed away a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about some of the things we used to like to do when I was growing up. And I have read it a couple times for open mic at the Sacramento Poetry Center. The title is Wild Dancers. The young woman leaned over to admire the wildflowers in the vase. She sat with her family at breakfast after attending mass. It was always such a joy to see her smiling face, even when her children picked her a bouquet of dandelions growing in the grass. She delighted in picking chestnuts and pine cones and manzanita branches for holiday table centerpieces throughout the year. Every winter, while her children tobogganed down the slope, she made them a special treat of ice cream out of snow. They giggled gleefully at seeing their first deer and munching on wild mint down at the creek upon spring's first flow. As the years went by, the young woman painted wildflowers, sometimes a lone flower and sometimes a field of wildflowers, growing near an old barn. She waited anxiously for the soft purples, reds, and pinks to blossom from spring showers. She could sit painting for hours, like a kitten unraveling a skein of yarn. Now the spirit of the young woman sees more than just pretty wildflowers blowing in the breeze. She sees a ballet of dancers in elegant costumes taking their encore bow. She hears angelic music, although we hear only the wind blowing through the trees. The flutter of angel wings brings the tiny dancers to a still that makes the spirit of the young woman smile even now. Thank you.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's very good to hear from you. And let's go to Karen in Berkeley. You're on KGO. Good morning.
Doing?
Really good.
A while back, you had done a show that was by and large dedicated to Rosa Parks upon her passing, and we were all talking about how important it was to, you know, especially in these days and times, to just take a stand, let your own voice be heard, and just get up in society and do something, even at risk to yourself. And that whole subject reminded me of a rock song that I listened to when I was in college, and it's one of those songs that's you can tweak like a word or two, and it can be so appropriate to any time in your life that you know, things are going not too well, and it's particularly appropriate just to today's political times. So I would just read the lyrics. It's called Stand. It's by a group called Blues Traveler, and it goes like this. Stand. Stand and walk. Fear of tragedy? That's cheap, and so is talk. Decisions? They're yours to make. What will you do? In the end, no matter what, it comes back to you. Look around. It was a long way to fall. These leaders thunder? Don't scare me at all. Lightning? Yeah, just a little. But their pressure? It ain't worth a dime. And all of our wounds
can all heal in time if we stand. Look around. It was a long way to fall. I know. The answers are getting harder. The answers keep getting harder. Answers are supposed to come to those who pray, so they say. But the answers are getting harder and harder. And there ain't no way to bargain or to barter. If you've got the angst or you've got the ardor, then don't faint from the fight, because you're going to find it. And every challenge could have paradise behind it. If we accept what we have lost, but we stand tall, we might just get it back. We can get it all. Now we know just what a long way we can fall. Yeah, it was a long way to fall. So stand. Stand and walk.
Very well put. And indeed. Thank you very, very much. Boy, stand and walk. 3:43 in the morning here in San Francisco, and boy, so many of you this morning coming up with great work, really. I have a line open on the board at 808-0810, and we'll continue here in just a moment. Cajun News Talk time here in San Francisco is 3:45, and here's a very well, it's a concise ode to a rose, I guess is what I should call it, by Sam. I am a rose in a garden no one knows, as your colors in a compound of struggles that grows and grows. My stalks, a far-reaching attempt for all my beauty to live life and let it show. An odor like no other come into my petal, inhale the essence, the womb of my soul. I am but a rose like no other. It is my endeavor, my purpose to give you pleasure, a nature's beauty like nothing else you'll ever know. Well, that's very well stated, Sam. really. And let me continue with your calls. I have a line open on the board at 808-0810. And let's go to Ann in Hayward. You're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Really good poetry tonight.
Yes, sir. It is.
Yeah. The last hour you mentioned Angela. Excuse me, I can't get a name. Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou. Yes.
Actually, she was Bill Clinton's White House.
Poet. Yes, she was. Yes.
Yeah, and I hear Bush has a White House poet too, Clem Kindlehopper.
Oh, I see.
Now, actually, I think Laura Bush. Bush started it, and then they canceled it out for some reason or another. But usually there is the White House poet.
Usually there is, but what has happened, quite frankly, with the Bushes is that because of his war and because of a lot of other problems in the country, they invite Laura, always wanted to have a poetry festival, and I think she still has one, but it's diminished considerably because a lot of poets are pretty free-thinking people, and she invites some of the best poets around in the country, but they write her back if they, under no circumstance, with the policies and what have you coming out of your household there, adversely affecting the country, we don't feel good about coming to a poetry festival at the White House. And so they have, whereas Laura wanted to really have great poetry and what have you, they've really played it down now that so many poets, and the reason I know about this is because it is so widely publicized that she will have asked a great poet, and the great poet just publicly turns her down. So to avoid the embarrassment, she pretty much has backed away from it.
Well, good for them. I'm glad they backed away. It's justifiable.
Absolutely.
Ray, you mentioned the decline in poetry.
Yes.
I talk to some people, and they tell me, oh, poetry, I don't care for it. It's not my cup of tea and all that. So I say to them, do you have a favorite song? And they tell me, oh, yeah, lots of songs. You know, I love them. I says, don't you realize that the lyrics, it's all poetry? And they tell me, well, oh, you know, I never thought of that.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you say to that, you know? And it just doesn't make sense to me. At any rate, I have a poem I written about, it's a very short tribute to a giant of a lady. It's entitled Milestone. Priceless was the courage on display in the making of history on that memorable day. Tremendous was the task performed by a lady with determination and unmistakable class. Rosa Parks, 1913-2005. May eternal rest be granted to her. Hello?
Yes, yes.
That's it.
Yeah, no, but it's a wonderful tribute. To say the least, a wonderful, wonderful tribute. And it's a great weekend to remember her as we have the Martin Luther King weekend, the beginning of that right now, today. So thank you very, very much. And let's go to Jesse in San Francisco. You're on KGO. Good morning.
Hi, Ray.
Yes.
I got two songs, two poems I made originally in 12/4/84, but we made them on the 11th of this month. One is to my Grandpa Brown and Grandpa Edmondson, who are now deceased. If I could, this is number one, if I could be anyone I choose, I'd follow in Grandpa's footsteps and try to fill his shoes.
Well, there you go.
And number two is to all my family and friends who are now deceased. Gone yet not forgotten, although we're apart, your spirit lives with me forever in my heart. May you be at peace, knowing you are loved and missed by someone you love and miss.
Well, that, too, is wonderfully done. Thank you.
Now, this is Jesse Brown in San Francisco, and I'm not afraid to give my last name because I am now a retired security man, and I think I'm going to become a poet.
Yeah, well, I think you're already a poet, and I greatly appreciate your calling. Thank you very much. And speaking of music, since it's been brought up by a couple of you, and I know a lot of you feel this way, some of the best poetry, of course, is in song, with song, and I'm going to play you something of a, this is a song that, frankly, I love to play it. It's one of the most beautiful songs that Michel Legrand wrote, and I'll just read the words of it. It's called You Must Believe in Spring. When lonely feelings chill the meadows of your mind, just think if winter comes, can spring be far behind? Beneath the deepest snows, the secret of a rose is merely that it knows you must believe in spring. Just as a tree is sure its leaves will reappear, it knows its emptiness is just a time of year. The frozen mountain dreams of April's melting streams, how crystal clear it seems, you must believe in spring. You must believe in love and trust it's on the way. Just as the sleeping rose awaits the kiss of May. So in a world of snow, of things that come and go, where what you think you know you can't be certain of, you must believe in spring and love. And an arrangement of this has Toots Thielemann playing this with Fred Hirsch. Thank you. his harmonica, and Fred Hirsch on the piano. You Must Believe in Spring. Michel Legrand wrote a lot of beautiful music to go with the poetry of Alan Bergman. Just absolutely beautiful. And so that's what poetry is all about. About that theme, the love theme, political theme. It's really some of the most beautiful expressions we as human beings make. And you'll hear more of it right here on KGO following the ABC Network News over this ABC station now at 4 in the morning. You're listening to KGO San Francisco.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. No more questions for Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. His testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee over. ABC Chief Washington correspondent George Stephanopoulos says Democrats just couldn't get Alito to make any damaging statements.
Bottom line is they could not box in Alito on the big issues. Nothing Judge Alito said here will keep him off the court or constrain him when he's on the court.
Some more witnesses today. Alito is expected to be confirmed. Reaction to the White House. ABC's Ann Compton there live. Ann.
President Bush was so proud, Doug, he telephoned Judge Alito from Air Force One, complimenting Alito's testimony, telling him he showed great class. The original timetable could bring Alito's nomination to a final vote in the Senate 1 week from today. President Bush wants Alito seated on the court before too many major cases are heard. Doug?
Today, President Bush welcoming the new German Chancellor Angela Merkel to the White House. They're expected to talk about the war in Iraq and Iran's nuclear program. An exclusive ABC News investigation, a recent spike in sales of prepaid, untraceable cell phones. Authorities concerned that terrorists might use them to plan attacks, avoid detection. ABC's Brian Ross reports a federal investigation began following three separate incidents of men buying large numbers of prepaid cell phones in Texas, California. ABC News consultant, former FBI agent Jack Clunan.
There's very little audit trail assigned to this phone. One can walk in, purchase it in cash, don't have to put down a credit card, buy any amount of minutes to it, and you don't, frankly, know who bought this.
A week ago tonight, longtime New York Times reporter David Rosenbaum robbed and beaten to death an upscale neighborhood here in Washington. Then somebody started using his credit card. The man caught on surveillance video shown on TV newscast yesterday. A 23-year-old maintenance man walked into a police station and asked why his face was on television. He has since confessed to Rosenbaum's murder. You're listening to ABC News.
Are your husband's toenails nasty looking? It's not easy to talk about, but here's what Neil wrote.
I don't usually contact the manufacturer, but in this case, I must speak up. You see, the nail on my big toe was a mess. It was thick and yellow, so I decided to buy some Non-X nail gel. One bottle's all it took. My toenail now looks great.
If there's an ugly set of nails in your household, then it's time for Non-X Nail Gel. Now at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Eckerd, Duane Reade, Long's, and other fine pharmacies.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services, 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092.
Maryland's become the first state to require Walmart to spend more on employee health care or pay the difference into the state's Medicaid fund. Other states may follow suit. You can still get tomatoes in your burger at Wendy's, but you got to make a special request. The chain says tomatoes harder to come by since last year's hurricanes in Florida. Mineola, New York, a Benihana restaurant being sued over a piece of shrimp. The suit claims a hibachi chef at Benihana's flung a shrimp at a man who wrenched his neck trying to dodge it. The man later died of complications from neck surgery. Just in case you haven't noticed this morning, it is Friday the 13th. Are you superstitious? Do you believe all those tales about bad luck today? Some say get a life.
So you've got a black cat. You broke the mirror this morning getting ready for work, and you happened to step under a ladder on your way out to the car. A big deal? Tim Kammer calls himself a professional skeptic. He says, grow up.
You're living your life in a way that is not
It's not reality. It's a fantasy-type world.
Believe in Friday the 13th or not, a question you can bet might be on jeopardy tonight. The clinical term for fear of 13, triskaidekaphobia. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Just don't put up an umbrella while you're inside and throw a little salt over your shoulders for good luck. This is ABC News.
Volunteers of America is a national organization that for over 100 years has provided programs and services that allow people to overcome their challenges to become vital members of their community. At Volunteers of America, we don't just help people, we help people help themselves. Find out how you can support the programs that are working in your community. Contact Volunteers of America today. Call 1-800-899-0089.
Doug Limerick, ABC News.
KGO Radio News Time, 4:05. Good morning. I'm Kim McAllister. Here's the latest in the Bay Area and the state. Hundreds of parents, students, and teachers attended last night's San Francisco School Board meeting. The Board of Education decided to postpone their vote on whether to close or merge 26 of the city's 119 schools. The public comment last night went on for 5 hours, and at some point, it got pretty loud. Declining enrollment and a drop in revenue. School closures could save the district about $5 million. Parents say the board members appear poised to shutter schools that will primarily affect minority students. Board member Lorna Ho said the situation is pretty complicated.
The fact of the matter is that we are in a tough fiscal situation. We have not had appropriate funding from the state for many years. And cumulatively, when you look at having to pay for rising labor costs and whatnot, it really does put the district in a tough position.
Declining enrollment is a growing problem. Attendance is down from 100,000 students in 1986 to just 56,000 today as families leave the city in search of affordable housing. Three Bay Area schools made the list of California's 10 most promising high schools: Windsor High in Windsor, the MIT Academy in Vallejo, and Galileo High in San Francisco are just three of 75 schools across the country to be named promising. It seems anti-abortion advertisements on BART trains and stations aren't sitting well with passengers. The Respect Life Ministry of the Oakland Diocese of the Roman Catholic Church paid more than $43,000 for the ads asking, "Abortion, have we gone too far?" The Chronicle says many of the ads have been torn down or defaced. A crossing guard is in critical condition after he was hit by a car at a Salinas school yesterday. Officers say 62-year-old Jim Maloney was thrown off his feet and landed headfirst on the pavement outside Mission Park Elementary School on West Acacia Street. Investigators are still looking into whether excessive speed or distraction caused the driver of a Jaguar to hit the man. Let's go to the roads and check your traffic around the Bay Area now. We do have overnight road work that is still in progress in Marin County. On Highway 101, the northbound lanes are shut down at Sir Francis Drake Boulevard. A detour is out to 580 westbound and then back to North 101. That closure is scheduled to be lifted by about 5 o'clock this morning. Also, reports of a hit-and-run crash at the Kirtner on-ramp to North 87. One car ended up in the sand barrels on the shoulder. Looks like crews have pretty much got that cleared away now. Your KGO traffic is brought to you by Carry Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion, trusted therapy that deeply conditions and nourishes elbows, knees, and anywhere else that skin thirsts for moisture, leaving your skin feeling healthy and smooth. Try Carry today. KGO weather forecast: partly cloudy skies around the Bay Area today. Chance for late afternoon rain, highs in the 50s and the 60s. For your Saturday, looks like rain is likely right now. 52 and cloudy in San Francisco. I'm Kim McAllister, KGO Radio News.
And good morning again. I'm Ray Taliaferro with the fourth and final hour of the Poetry Night here on this lovely Friday morning, the beginning of an extended weekend Martin Luther King Day coming up on Monday, so it's a long weekend for most. And we're hearing some great poetry, and we're being reminded that, certainly for those who say that, well, they really didn't care that much for poetry until they were reminded of the songs that meant a great deal to them. And they say, oh my goodness, I never thought about that. Well, that's really true. But a lot of you have thought about poetry, not only thought about it, but you've written it. And you've certainly read from great poets, and that is wonderful. It really, really makes life a lot richer, no question about it. So in the fourth and final hour, if there's a poem that you'd like to read over the air, share with us, you're certainly invited to call at 808-0810, that's 808-0810. And let's go to Ed in Vallejo. You're on KGO Trey Taliaferro. Good morning.
Yeah, Ray.
Yes.
I'm Major Sarna, retired, and I just wanted to share this wonderful story with you.
Yes.
And that I had my duty with the Marines when I came out, and many years here in the Bay Area was to attend military funerals, and my job was to present the parents and the loved one with the flag after the ceremony was over with. But no, the story behind it was given to me by a general, and it's fascinating, and I thought I'd share with your people. It's actually a poem, and I think it's a song at the same time. But you know the story behind the song that I'm talking about is Taps. And I think you'd be interested to know, and I think the people would. It was in 1862, during the Civil War, the Union Army Captain Robert L. Cumby was with his men near Harrison's Landing in Virginia. The Confederate Army was on the other side of a narrow strip of land, and the Confederates were on the other side. During the night, the captain heard the moans of a soldier who was badly wounded. So he, not knowing if it was a Union or a Confederate soldier, the captain decided to risk his life and bring the stricken man back to the medical attention. So he crawled out to the field. He got to the wounded soldier under the fire. The captain reached the stricken soldier and began pulling him back toward an encampment. When the captain finally reached his own lines, he discovered it was actually a Confederate soldier, but the soldier was dead. The captain lit a lantern and suddenly caught his breath and went numb with shock. In the dim light, he saw the face of the soldier. It was his own son. The boy had been studying music in the South when the war broke out. Without telling his father, the boy enlisted in the Confederate Army. The following morning, heartbroken, the father asked permission of his superiors to give his son a full military burial despite his enemy status. His request was only partially granted. The captain had asked if he could have a group of Army board members or band members play a funeral dirge for his son at the funeral. The request was turned down since the soldier was a Confederate. But out of respect for the father, they did say they can give him only one musician. The captain chose a bugler. He asked the bugler to play a series of musical notes he had found on a piece of paper in the pocket of his dead son's uniform. The wish was granted. This haunting memory we now know as Taps, used at military funerals, was born. And of course we know the words to it. Day is done, gone the sun, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky, all is well, safely rest, God is high. Fading light dims the sight, and a star gleams the sky, gleaming bright from afar, drawing night, falls the night. Thanks and praise for our days, near the sun, near the stars, near the sky. As we go, this we know, God is high. I too have felt the chills from this songs of Taft, and of course I always get tears because I lost two brothers in the war and met wonderful people whose parents were and that I had to bury and stuff, and give them this, give them, a lot of times I give them a copy of this.
Mm-hmm.
To have the memory of it to remember.
Well, I'm really glad that you called.
Are you ready for the wonderful program that you present, and I hope your people enjoyed it.
Well, enjoyed it extremely much. Thank you very much. I think I've only heard the words to tap, Taps once before. And I've never seen them. I've only heard them. A lot of people don't even know that Taps has words, but as you heard the gentleman sing them, they certainly do. Very interesting story. Very interesting story from the man's son, who, as a musician, had those notes on a piece of paper in his pocket. And it is a very, it's probably one of the, not just probably, it undoubtedly is the best known piece that, that when you hear it, you immediately associate it with someone dead and someone being celebrated and remembered. It's quite a series of notes, that is for sure. I have a line open on the board at 8080810. Speaking of poetry, boy, there's so much poetry in the literary sense and in music. In fact, I think that sometimes the consummate form of poetry is when it has its union with music, it just morphs into something very internally stirring. There's no question about it. And so let me continue with your calls and your poetry here in a moment. Line is open on the board at 8080810. And I'll be back in a couple of minutes. saxophonist, and Walton, of course, the great pianist that he is. And let's continue with more poetry. Poetry and music, boy, I tell you, it's a wonderful combination. There's a line open on the board at 808-0810-422 in the morning. Let's go to Blessed in San Francisco. You're on KGO, Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. That music just got me in the mood for L-O-V-E.
Oh, no.
I apologize. Just right around the corner.
Yes.
I have two poems to read the original, but they both are about L-O-V-E. The first one called Softly as We Dance. The night has fallen. I'm touching your hand, and your fingers run all over my back. Your lips get close to my lips. Your heart races against my heart. The body language we're both speaking, sticking to each other like a crazy glue. Softly and more softly, I'm dancing with you. I'm caressing you. Your dress touches my skin, and there's so much happiness around us. Your body is a flower that blooms all night just like a white rose under the rain. Your eyes are stars that shine on the sea. Yet, your hands are soft warm, warmer than hot sand. In your eyes, I've seen all the colors, red, blue, gray, purple, brown, green, hazel, and all colors of love. That's the first poem.
My goodness. Yeah, you are ready for something. So go right ahead.
Second poem, it's called Take Possession of Me. I say, you are my beautiful sunflower. You are my loyal best friend. My precious doll from above, I can't afford losing you. Baby, you are the beautiful flower that blooms during all the season, and I'm for you the morning dew that makes the flower bloom. Just like the sky possesses the moon and the earth possesses the trees, I do want you to take possession of me. I do want you to make of me yours alone and your very own. It's true that you are the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh, and my whole life revolves around you. Hold on to my hands and let's walk together to show the world that love exists. Hold on to my hands, let's walk and kiss before the crowd to show how much we love each other. You see, a gardener takes care of his flower. Since you are my beautiful flower, I want to be the one who takes care of you. I want to be the one who holds you closer endlessly. I want to be the one to have you by my side while you smile with your eyes shut. Yes, I want to have you by my side so the world can see it. That's it.
I'm just very impressed, and thank you very much. I just thought I'd let you go with some more of that LOV music.
Right.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah. Thank you. That is Eric Alexander and Cedar Walton. And let me, speaking of poetry night, let's go to the poet laureate of Wall Street, the wonderful, the outstanding, the magnificent, the creative artist, Patrice Acora.
And that didn't even rhyme.
Yeah, right. I see.
All right. Overseas stocks, mixed showing overnight. Weakness hitting stocks in London, the FTSE 100 lower by about 34 points after the drop yesterday on Wall Street, but we'll get to that. Higher oil prices and Iran's nuclear research plans also bothering a lot of the markets overseas. In Tokyo, the Nikkei struggled to a tiny gain, and in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng rose 0.4%. Most other Asian markets, however, were lower. NASDAQ futures here at home, we're down 5 points. S&P futures are down 1. Again, a little profit-taking concern about Iran hurt stocks yesterday. Dow Industrials off 81 points to 10,962. The index still up 2.3% for the year, though. Not bad. The NASDAQ was down 14 points yesterday. The S&P dipped 8. The State Public Utilities Commission in California has approved a 10-year, $2.9 billion solar power initiative. The program will use subsidies to increase installations of new solar power systems. The goal, to boost the amount of installed solar capacity on rooftops in the state by 3,000 megawatts over the next decade, enough to supply the power needed by 2 million homes. Again, NASDAQ futures down 5 points, S&P futures down 1. I'm Patrice Sikora at the Wall Street Journal for KGO Radio News.
Well, thank you very much. And Ms. Sikora will return in 30 minutes and twice more in the first of 4 hours of the newscast that begins here on KGO at 5 o'clock. And, well, poetry night. What a wonderful period of time. And every time I do one of these, it's always a marvelous, inspirational morning, to say the least. And I always say, boy, you have to do this more often. But we don't do it more often. We do it about three times a year, three or four times a year. And it's just a wonderful way to get this year started. And also to pay our tribute to poets and poetry. It does remind people, I know it does, I get a lot of mail from the program where many of you say, my goodness, I hadn't even thought about poetry. I used to love it a lot and so forth, but I listened to the program and gotta let you know, the rest of the weekend I was there reading poems, went into boxes and got some of our best books out and some of the things that they wrote to one another and so forth. It's quite something. There's probably nothing that I can think of that brings such a smile and a great feeling to everyone, really, to everyone, when you do hear poetry and the poetry of literature, the poetry of music. It's something that we, in our species, can be very proud that some wonderful people created for the rest of us to enjoy. In the meantime, I have a line open on the board at 808-0810. That's 808-0810. And I'll get to more of your poems here in the last 30 minutes of Poetry Night in just a moment. But first, let's go to Kim McAllister with an update on the news.
Ray, thank you. Good morning. It is an update from KGO Radio. More witnesses for U.S. Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito will testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. Alito finished up 4 days before the committee yesterday. President Bush's pick to replace retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor again vowed to be his own person on the high court during his final day of testimony. Iran is warning of consequences if it is taken before the United Nations Security Council for restarting its nuclear program. The Iranian foreign minister said today that Iran would stop cooperating with UN inspections if it's taken before the Security Council. The United States, Britain, Germany, and France recently said that Iran should be referred to the council. Alleged enemy combatant Jose Padilla pleaded not guilty yesterday in a Miami courtroom. His defense attorney said his client pleaded absolutely not guilty to the charges that he aided and supported terrorist recruits overseas. The judge denied Padilla's bond, saying he's a flight risk and a danger to the community. President Bush, checking on hurricane recovery efforts yesterday on the Gulf Coast, said he saw dramatic improvement in New Orleans from his last visit. He acknowledged that there is still a great deal left to do before the city can return to normal. President met with local business leaders in the Big Easy. He also visited a Bay, St. Louis, and Mississippi. We'll go to the roads and check your traffic around the Bay Area now. Still that road closure in Marin County. All lanes shut. North 101 at Sir Francis Drake, with drivers being rerouted to Sir Francis Drake Boulevard, West 580, and then back to northbound 101. The road work is scheduled to be lifted within the next half hour. The lanes have reopened on the peninsula. North 101, there was a road closure right at Highway 1 out to San Jose Avenue, but the cones there have been picked up. Along the Cotati Grade, the right lane was closed off southbound 101 during the overnight. Tom just called the KGO cell line, said that that is being lifted right now. So south 101 as you leave Cotati and head toward Petaluma, the road looks free and clear for you there. In Petaluma, looks like a broken down car on Petaluma Hill Road at Warrington Road. The tow truck actually is broken down. It's sitting there in the middle of the roadway. Now they have to get a tow truck out there to move the tow truck. KGO Traffic is brought to you by Carrie Nourishing Shea Butter Lotion, trusted therapy that deeply conditions and nourishes elbows, knees, and anywhere else. Skin thirsts for moisture, leaving your skin feeling healthy and smooth. Try Carrie today. KGO weather forecast, partly cloudy skies for your Friday. Chance of late afternoon rain and highs in the 50s and 60s. Come Saturday, though, the rain looks pretty likely. Right now in San Francisco, it is 50 degrees. I'm Kim McAllister, KGO Radio News.
And the KJO News Talk time here in San Francisco is 4:37 in the morning on poetry, our poetry program. And let's go to Christina in Brentwood. You're on KJO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. This is Christina. A happy new year.
Well, same to you.
I have three. They're short. They're originals. I wrote them over 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is about time. Time is always wasted. You let it slip through endless climbing. And at the end, you fall off a timeless cliff. You must do what you've always wanted. You should not let the earth stand still, not even for a second. The ocean is so deep and cold, so far away, you could never see the end of it. You could walk through it and still come out dry. Air is so still, no sound of whisper. Sun beaming directly on the surface of the earth, where it is so empty and bare, where time is melting away and only ants have time to waste.
Oh, very nice.
The next one is a little out there. It's another original that I wrote.
You were out there 25 years ago. I see.
I'm still out there.
Yeah.
Reality. Out of time, out of work, out of my mind. Out of touch, out of space, out of time, out of money, out of light, out of my mind. Out of touch from reality, in a daze, into fantasy. Want the time to be precious, want the job to be worth it. Want my mind to be perfect, want the feeling to be filling. Want the greens to be real, want the spotlight, want it all. In my mind, out of work, out of time, out of touch from this world.
Very good.
The last one I dedicate to my husband, who is driving to work, and he listens to every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Love. Love is a tender passion, hungered with lust. Love romance. Loves romance with a little flirtation. Love is worship and devotion. Love is an enduring commitment. Love is being, love is energetic, with a little rock and roll. Love is laughter, love is life. Love is self-esteem, love is perception. Love is infinity.
Oh, boy. We should have warned your lover and had him pull over to the side of the road. I wouldn't want to be responsible for it. Well, great. Listen, he's lucky, we're lucky, and thank you, Christina.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning.
Oh, you too. It's really good to hear from you on Poetry Night. And let's continue on, even though I don't know how Rick can top Christina, but we'll try. Rick in Reno, you're on KGO.
I'll do my best, Ray.
Yes, okay.
By way of introduction to my two poems, one of them is not by me. It's a poem of warning. And the second poem, which is by me, it's a poem of joy and happiness. The earth has been around for 4.5 billion years, nearly half the lifetime of the universe. And the human being in the White House represents a grave danger to not just human life, but life, to the planet's life. And we must oust him and his supporters. We must oust his supporters this fall in order to get him out, because he's a grave danger to life. Now, the first poem is by Jack Bruce. Jack Bruce was a member of the Cream, a great band of the 60s. He wrote this over 37 years ago. It's called We're Going Wrong. Please open your eyes. Try to realize. I found out today we're going wrong. We're going wrong. Please open your mind. See what you can find. I found out today we're going wrong. We're going wrong. We're We're going wrong.
Okay.
In the poem of joy and happiness, this is a haiku I wrote inspired by your readers and yourself. A haiku. My love, you join the select few, the apples of my eye, I love you.
Well, I really appreciate it, and thank you very, very much. And let's go to Anita. You're on KGO Ray Taliaferro. Good morning. Oh, really great.
Okay. I'm fine, too. And the poem I wanted to read was Annoying. It has been a year. Sorry. I guess I read again because I clear my throat. Because this poem is about a typical situation in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Annoying. It has been a year. You have power over me. I work for you. You pay me poorly, but you do. I hate my job. It is dead end. I started at 18. I have been here 20 years. Married and have children. You put food on my table. You fed, clothed, and sheltered me. Not without my husband's help. He has a good job. He is educated. He works for a high-tech company for a third less since the boom fell down. He still makes $60,000 a year. I only make $30,000. I started with $10,000. $90,000 with two kids sounds grand. But in Silicon Valley, one needs $100,000 to make it. $110,000 was ideal for this family. $90,000 won't cut it. I hate my boss. I answer his phones. I make his coffee, type his letters. As you guess it, I'm an administrative assistant, end quote, secretary. The CEO, the boss for a financial company, makes $100 million a year. He is married and has two kids, but look how he lives. I wish I could be him, have his life. I don't want to be any poor, just richer.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you very, very much. Yes, indeed. It reminds me of another poem that begins, "When you wish upon a star." Well, being with Disney, I mean, what the heck can we say? Let's go to Kathleen in Canada. You're on KGO with Ray Taliaferro. Good morning.
Hello, Ray.
Yes.
A very happy new year to you.
Well, same to you.
Thank you. I'm afraid my Christmas and New Year were very sad. I lost my husband of 50 years in October.
Oh, my.
Yes. And I've written a poem for him, and I've called it Tribute to Frank. So many mental photographs in retrospect appear, events of half a century back to that first New Year. The year was 1955. We met on New Year's Eve. The party was a great success. Near dawn, we made to leave. We danced and talked the whole night through. He danced like Fred Astaire. Before I take you home, he said, let's take a drive somewhere. He took me on a quiet ride. A smile shone on his face. I'm heading for a famous spot. Twin Peaks, he called the place. We'll have a splendid view from there. You'll be impressed, I know. Spanning the bay, the Golden Gate, the city lights below. His planned surprise was not to be. Thick fog concealed the view. I laughed and laughed above the clouds. His laughter joined mine too. Twin Peaks became our special place. My love he quickly won. For For 50 years, we stayed the course. And now, my Frank is gone.
That's a wonderful, wonderful tribute. And a tribute to a great life. My goodness. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Okay, and the very best to you. I tell you, the only way, or the best way, that many find of expressing themselves at a moment that she's going through is through poetry. And it's, I keep telling folk all the time, it's the finest use of our language. No question about it. Nothing expresses what is in the heart better than the use of our language in the form of poetry. Let's go to Tom in Glendora. You're on KGO3 Tajafero. Good morning.
Oh, thank you, Ray. That last poem was so touching. That was marvelous.
Oh, indeed.
I love the wonderful jazz music you're playing, and since jazz is quintessentially American music and quintessentially black music, and since Monday is the celebration of a great American hero, Dr. Martin Luther King, and since Rosa Parks, another great, great black American, just passed on, I offer the two following short little odes. Number one is Ode to the King of Courage. On April 4th, 1968, death stole an American Braveheart away. It is amazing to realize how great was the courage of the man murdered that day. Martin Luther King, in God's good grace, fought for equal rights for one and all, for folks of every faith and race. Reverend King, in love and peace, stood tall. Measure someone not by shade of skin, but by the goodness contained within. That's the lofty goal of this good free nation. Making it so was Dr. King's dedication. To honor our hero, Martin Luther King, be colorblind to every woman and man. Respect and kindness and love try to bring to as many people as you possibly can.
Oh, that's very, very well stated.
Number two, thank you, Ray. Number two, sir, is to the greatest, perhaps the greatest American lady, Rosa Parks, called Goodbye and Thanks. 50 years ago, she stood up, refusing to go to the back of the bus. With this very good, illegal act, she pushed legal evil way, way back and endured threats of deadly personal attacks. I speak, of course, of Rosa Parks, who gave civil rights its needed spark. The abuse of blacks is an abomination, a scar on the soul of this American nation. Rosa Parks fought this evil nonviolently. God bless this sweet lady of liberty. She gave us all a more decent country. At 92, Rosa Parks has now passed on. A great, brave American hero is gone. Though we are sad and feel the pain, our loss on earth is heaven's gain. Rest in peace, dear Rosa, in God's good grace. Thanks for making America a better place.
Very, very well stated. Yeah, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
For joining our poetry night. And as we prepare for more of your poetry, let me, for a moment, let you know that ABC 7 News comes your way on Channel 7 at 5 o'clock. And Eric, it's good to see you.
Thanks, Ray. It's good to be seen. Good morning to you. Some of the stories we're working on for ABC 7 News at 5. A U.S. Army reconnaissance helicopter is down in northern Iraq. Two pilots were seriously hurt. They were helping Iraq police who had come under hostile fire. We'll have the latest on that developing story. Emotional words from parents last night at a hearing over San Francisco school district plans to close and consolidate more than two dozen schools. Thousands of students would be affected. It's a cost-cutting move. The school board was supposed to vote on that proposal last night. We'll show you why they didn't. And Newark police are showing some of the evidence they gathered at a fast food restaurant where a newborn's body was found this week. They're hoping the pictures will trigger a memory and that someone will come forward with information that helps track down the baby's parents. And, of course, we'll have weather with Joel Bartlett telling us when the rain's supposed to move in. We'll look at sports and traffic, all of that. Coming up on the ABC 7 News at 5.
Very good. Thank you very, very much. That's ABC 7 News on Channel 7 at 5 o'clock. And let's go to David in Palo Alto. You're on KGO. Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Some great great people on tonight, and tribute to both you and them. I just want to say fantastic energy.
Well, thank you.
I wasn't even going to call, but you guys got me fired up. I heard about the Leo is about to be rubber stamped, so this is this poem by Robert Bly called Chinese Tomb Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
To me, in some ways, states the fate, potential fate of the Democrats and the Democratic Party, I mean, and also the challenge. It ends with a challenge to the Democrats. And it goes like this. Oh, yes, I love you, book of my confessions, where what was swallowed, pushed away, sunken, driven down, begins to rise from the earth once more, and the madness and rage from the wells. The buried is still buried, like cows who eat in a collapsed straw pile all winter to get out. Something inside me is still imprisoned in winter straw, or far back in the mountain where Charlemagne sleeps, or under the water, hard to get to, guarded by women. Enough rises from that place to darken my poems, perhaps too much, and what remains down there makes a faint glow in the dead leaves. I am less than half risen. I see how carefully I have covered my tracks as I wrote, how well I have brushed over the past with my tail. Faces look at me from the shallow waters where I have pushed them down, father and mother pushed into the dark. What am I in my ambition and loneliness? I am the dust that fills the cracks on the ocean floor, floating like the stingray, used to the weight of the ocean floor, retreating to a cave. I live as a lizard or a winged shark, darting out at times to wound others or get food. How do we know the hidden will ever rise? How do we know that the buried will be revealed? Some beings get used to life underneath. Some dreams do not want to move into the light. Some want to, but can't. They can't make their way out because someone is guarding the posts of the door.
And on
one quick, this last part. Have you seen those Chinese tomb guardians left at the closed door? They stand with one knee raised. They half stand, half dance, half rage, half shout. Hot-tempered muscle bulgers, big-kneed brow bulgers, they scowl for eternity at the half-risen. What do you have that can get past them?
Okay, I must let you go because I'm right up against the end of the hour. But I really want to thank all of you who have called. It's really been wonderful.